Hayes is back yet. And that...
Everyone, and welcome to another installment of the Critical Hit Anomalist here on the AnomalistRadioNetwork.net. I am one of your hosts, Justin Villarreal. We also have Dak on the other line there. Dak, let them know.
I am another one of your hosts. I am Dak Nomad.
He is the Dak Nomad. And we also have, once again, a special guest host tonight.
But not Short Bus Special or, you know, Happy Burger World Special.
Well, it's kind of special, Ed. Go ahead, Ed, say hi.
Hello, listeners. Welcome to the Critical Hit Anomalous Radio. I'm your special guest today.
Soul brother right there.
I'm your special guest tonight, Mr. Eddie Varnell.
Mr. Eddie Varnell. How you doing, Ed?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Doing amazing. Doing... a lot of video game playing.
Yeah? Well, of course. what do you do on Optional Opinion?
I talk about video games and other topics, which is going to be a blast for next week.
And what do we got going on next week?
Next week.
Which is tomorrow, I guess.
Actually,
right?
Tomorrow. Tomorrow on the mini-sode, I will be talking about the video game bundles of the holiday season. So I will be talking about the bundles from Sony. I will be talking about the bundles from Microsoft. And Nintendo, which I'll probably be talking later on tonight, is ready to go to war with the holiday season with bundles. If anyone has been listening or reading the news, Nintendo released information on the new 3DS, which is one of their new 3DS hand systems, which will have a second analog stick on it. And there's some other options. It's going to have a faster CPU running, and they'll be ready for the Amiibos to just touch on the bottom. But I'll be talking about that later on.
Because the previous one is already over a year old, right?
Yeah.
It's already time.
Yeah,
you need to drop another, you know, couple C notes on a new one because the old one is as good.
Well, surprisingly, they're all going to be the same price. The Nintendo Direct that they sent out Friday was actually for Japan, but I think North America Nintendo confirmed some of it. So
what's it called again?
The new 3DS.
New? Oh, that's what I heard. Okay, yes. That's what it was. Okay.
Wow, that's they're just rocking it on the new names, aren't they?
That is just
some inspirational naming of the system.
Let's call it the new 3DS. And that's,
I mean, you know, that's like Mitch Goldberg's old thing about, you know, the job he wants to most have is the guy that names the stuff for the kitchen. Like, what is this thing for? Well, it helps keep things fresh. So we'll call it the fresher. I'm going to lunch.
Yeah. But there's a lot of bundles coming out for all three consoles, so it's going to be interesting to see. Started with Sony with their Destiny bundle in September, and then following on Microsoft, they're going to be releasing their Call of Duty Advanced Warfare bundle, which is actually going to have... Yeah, which is actually going to have a 1 terabyte... they're having a 1 terabyte hard drive into the system instead of the 500 gig. And also they announced that they're going to be releasing the Kinect by itself. for $150, but I'll be talking about that tomorrow also.
There's some Nintendo music for you, Ed.
Of course.
Actually, why don't you just go throw out the Nintendo news now, or
design
it?
Well, Nintendo...
Save it for the ring rock!
Nintendo announced the price for their Amiibos, so they're $12.99, and they're on pre-sale for right now. And Amazon is it have a lot of the Amiibos in the top 20. In fact, some of the Amiibos have been sold out.
Now, what's an Amiibo?
And what the Amiibo is Nintendo's NFC. So anyone who knows Skylanders and Infinity, well, Nintendo has these figurines that you'll tap the Amiibo into your on your controller or your 3DS, and it's data that goes into the game. So characters will be able to fight along with you or help you out in the video game. It's going to be starting out with Smash Brothers.
Cool.
So that bridges the divide between action figure and video game in a way?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but this one...
I hope Hasbro gets on board with that, because something's got to give.
Well, this one, it keeps all your data. So any game that you play that takes it, all of it is saved in your Amiibo. So you only have to buy that one Amiibo. And then you can use it between your Wii U and your 3DS.
Wow. That's still kind of cool, though, you know, for the aspect of that, at least.
And like I said, it's been hot on Amazon. Like, pre-orders have been, for the pre-sales has been going crazy. Some of them are even sold out. Actually, the Wii Fit Trainer, the girl one, is sold out.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. Are you sold out yet on it?
Well.
Yeah, no.
Got to keep that figure, right?
Well, the thing about it is...
I'm never going to fit that wedding dress.
The thing about it is I can't release no information about that because of the place that I work at.
Didn't you just...
I can't.
No?
I can't.
But you just did.
I know, but I just said the place that I work at, I can't say no more. Oh, I'm going to get... Oh, believe me, I'm going to get some, but I just can't say when I'm going to get it.
Well, this is another...
Well, alrighty then.
There you go. Mario World Stage 2, just so people... Anyways, any other quick news there, Mr. Eddie Varno?
Well, yes. If anyone has been reading the news, once again, Guardians of the Galaxy has been the top rank for Labor Day this week. Mm. It's actually the highest grossing movie of 2014.
Now, did anyone predict that at all from the show? Did you predict it?
Nope.
Dak, how about you?
I fully admit that nobody predicted that.
And it's still getting raised, of course. The
only thing I predicted was that it would go back to the number one spot, which it did. My prediction was a week off, but it did. So, yay for that.
Exactly.
The fact that the two highest grossing movies of the year were both Marvel movies, that's pretty impressive.
I'm actually just sending you a quick message here. But yeah, no, overall, I mean, it's showing the evolution of comic book movies. And I will say, honestly, after watching, I'm going to have to go see it again. Did you see it yet at all? Guardians?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see it at the theaters?
Yes, I went to the theaters.
Oh, I should have. Yeah, of course you went to the theaters.
Yeah.
Where else would you see the movie?
Nobody's the cheap ass like you.
So... But yeah, you know, it's just enjoyable, and it's still there. We go.
It ends again.
Yeah. I can't stop this feeling.
I mean, like you said, nobody predicted it. Nobody.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, going into it, everybody was saying, you know, this is the biggest gamble. You know.
Yeah. I even see people now, which is funny, because I can't see this argument anymore. They're talking about later movies of other characters, and a lot of the argument I've seen among the threads is, oh, well, who knows these characters? Well, let's take a look at Guardians, because many of us, including myself, really didn't know much about Guardians of the Galaxy. And the history of the Guardians of the Galaxy was very...
I mean, even among comic book readers,
yeah.
I mean, the knowledge was pretty sparse.
Yeah. Well, the history of the Guardians, or specifically Star-Lord, has been kind of changed over the years, too. So, it's of course, people weren't even going to catch on because...
All of these characters
have
their shit changed up.
Exactly, exactly.
All
so, so now, to me, if people are going to have, seriously, a movie that, you know, not even you know, the fans, but overall the producers, production companies, and so on are going to say, we can't take a gamble. Guardians of the Galaxy proved that wrong. So, you know. Really. You don't have movie people, whoever makes jump around this show later in the archive or even now, you don't got an excuse now. Start making some good movies.
Well,
make sure we continue making good movies. Okay, how about I say that?
Good. You know, the fact that, nobody knows these characters, so what?
Exactly.
Make a good movie, people will come.
Exactly.
Now, the surprising thing would be is if Guardians do numbers like Frozen has. If Guardians stays in the theaters like Frozen has stayed in the theaters before it comes out to Blu-ray and DVD, then it'll probably match Frozen top for top, which would actually be a win for Disney since they own both properties.
Well, Disney's already pretty much dominating on every front. I mean, you know, they own Star Wars. They own Marvel. They own Pixar.
Yep.
You know, Disney is an unstoppable force at this point.
It really is. And now, and you just, yeah. Overall, you can't even add on to that because, really, they've been growing, you know, a growing unstoppable force.
Yeah.
Their animated, excuse me, their animated, the animated studios, compared to the other networks, have been taken off more and more every year. Mm-hmm. Besides a few, you know, like Nickelodeon's, you know, is obviously a competitor, but for the most part, though, Disney has it in the bag. Like more and more people are tuning into Disney content.
And it's so funny to contrast that from, let's take whatever year Aladdin came out. At the time,
probably 93 or something.
Yeah, around there.
Yeah.
But at the time, they could not get any big name people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Robin Williams was the guy who he was like, sure, why not? Pretty much to play the genie. Prior to that, they were struggling to get anybody in their movies.
And the other thing was, and I don't know if it's part of the reason why, but most of their actors were in house, so all these people came from previous projects within Disney already. Aladdin himself. The voice actor there was the boyfriend from Full House, which, just a quick note, Full House is apparently coming back.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What?
Yeah, it's apparently coming back. So that we're going to have a rumor mill discussion probably in a few minutes here.
Apparently, because...
Yeah.
That is a big... the question why is already answered. I mean, all those people need paychecks.
Of course. Although Bob Saget has been doing fine for himself, as far as I've seen, for every year I've seen him in something or doing something, but yeah.
Well, sure, yeah. But, you know, I mean, why not milk that cash cow for all it's worth?
And really, I personally don't care, to be honest with you.
I think if it comes back, I think it's only going to be for a season.
What do we got here? It's said that the show's executive producer, Bob Boyett, and creator Jeff Franklin are involved in the revival of the popular series. While most of his actors may be reprising their roles from the show, John Stamos, who famously played the character's Uncle Jesse, has ownership stake in the show. So if anything does happen, we got to get word of Mr. John Stamos, which I didn't know that. I did not know that they had that type of thing going on.
I'm not surprised by it.
Wow.
No, I didn't know it either.
So if he doesn't, I guess, agree with what's going on, then I guess we won't. But so it's back to the rumor mill, May. So they're talking about it. Personally, once again, I don't.
I got to tell you, it's going to take galactic Herculean efforts for me to give a shit less.
Mm-hmm. I don't even watch TV half the time, so...
for me to care any less about that, it would be... that would take some quantum mechanics.
I should say I do watch TV because we've talked about TV shows here, so there's some TV out there.
My TV is just a glorified DVD and streaming player.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Actually, pretty much that's what it is, yeah. I don't go. I usually stream my stuff, so. Yeah.
Me too.
I don't go
Speaking
out.
Of.
Go ahead.
I'm going to utilize that as a segue.
Why not?
I just saw a documentary a couple of nights ago that I don't know how this thing went under my radar, but my brother had recommended it to me, and wow. It's a documentary called A Band Called Death.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead, talk about that.
This is quite possibly the best crafted documentary I have ever seen. I mean, just from a technical standpoint of, you know, putting together a documentary, it's probably the best documentary I've ever seen. Plus the fact that the actual story and people involved, this is just, it's riveting. It's just an amazing doc.
Now, just so people know, we're talking about a punk rock band because there's also a metal band called Death, which I'm a fan of. So, you know.
You and your screamo metal.
Well, this one takes place in 1970 in Detroit, and it's about three brothers who actually started this band. And their dad had introduced them to, like, all, like, the Who and all these other rock bands and stuff. So they loved it, and they said they wanted to play rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
Living in Detroit in 1973, a trio of black brothers, not playing Motown, first off.
Yeah, because they said if you're from Detroit and you're black, you're expected already to be coming from Motown.
Yeah, to try to do something in Motown, yeah. Well, here, let's play the trailer. I guess that's fair, at least, so people can get a listen to some of this.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then we can talk a little bit more real quick.
Playing rock and roll.
You know, if you know, you're going to get around to playing it. Let me guess, we're having to stall for an ad on YouTube or something?
Yeah, it's playing now.
Three black brothers from Detroit, Michigan. I'm not hearing anything.
I'll turn it up a little bit. Dak.
That's a good name.
Can you hear it now, Dak?
No.
You told us you guys might have a record deal.
That's odd.
If you change the name.
But anyway.
It's playing right now.
But see this documentary. Black playing rock. See it. It is absolutely astounding. White boy music. I mean, it had me riveted. And that does not happen often, especially with documentaries.
Now, do you hear what's going on here, Ed?
Yes, I do.
Is any of this music that we're listening, that's them?
One day the world's going to come looking for the Death Master tapes.
I'm sorry, Dak, that you can't hear that for some reason.
That's okay.
And no one's known about it.
We're just now discovering this band that had been sort of lying in wait.
Something they pressed 30 years ago.
I would love to see, Dad, like a new show of that or something real quick, you know?
He says they're playing your music at underground parties here.
But yeah, just a phenomenal documentary through and through.
Yeah.
I mean, from the people involved all the way to the actual crafting of a documentary. It's just as perfect a documentary as I've ever seen.
And now I gotta check this out. Did you see it on Netflix, or what was it?
I believe it is streaming on Netflix. I believe that's how Eddie saw it.
Okay.
I saw it on Amazon streaming.
Cool.
So, but yeah, check it out. It's well worth the time.
Yeah, I'm going to now. I'm going to. I've been looking for some other things to play while I'm working on a few things. So, I got Netflix back up as well. So that's
great. And I'm gonna circle back to the documentary thing.
Go ahead.
With kind of a quick segue here, with the I don't know if we call it rumor necessarily, but it's looking like it's as close to a done deal as gets all without actually being announced yet.
Mm-hmm.
But the likelihood that Joaquin Phoenix is in final negotiations to play Doctor Strange.
How'd you get that from documentary?
I'm
You're just stretching.
I said I'd come back to it.
Oh, I'm sorry. But no.
I'm coming back to it.
That is some interesting news. We're just talking about
Joaquin Phoenix. Here's the thing. I have never liked Joaquin Phoenix. I apparently am an extreme minority among anybody that considers themselves a movie pundit. Okay. Every time I hear somebody talk about this news on various podcasts or whatever, anytime, you know, movie news is the subject, and they bring this up, they're like, that's such a great choice because he's such a great actor. Let me tell you, I have never seen it. I do not understand why people think this guy is a great actor, because I have never seen anything so compelling that I would call him a great actor. He's been in some decent flicks. He's put together, you know, he's thrown out some passable performances, but I don't see why anybody considers him such a great actor.
Yeah,
personally,
I agree.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. So, last night, I made a conscious decision that I would try, you know, I'd look up something, see what was streaming that I didn't have to pay more for, that he's in, and see if I could find something to redeem this guy. Last night, I find a documentary from, I think it was 2009, directed by Casey Affleck, no less, that was called Joaquin Phoenix, I'm Still Here. And essentially what it was in, I think it's 2008, when Two Lovers was just about to come out, he had publicly stated that he's quitting acting. He's retired from acting, and he's going to pursue a hip-hop career. This is a lot, you know, mostly this doc is behind-the-scenes stuff of just him in his house or him in his hotel room or whatever. And let me tell you something. My search for any redeeming qualities for Joaquin Phoenix died a horrible, lingering death, because not only do I not like him as an actor, now I absolutely loathe him as a person.
Yeah,
this guy has no touch with reality whatsoever.
And
he's a total jackass. Hate the man.
And he really didn't tell nobody that he was doing this. So he was just going around and playing this role on TV and with other people and acting this character, not knowing that he was actually making a movie like this.
No, he was fully aware of it. He had the cameras in the face the whole time, and he's bitching at other people about them making his life a joke and stuff, while he's acting like a complete jackass. You know.
And I missed it. What was the name of the documentary again?
I'm Still Here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's so horrendous. It's a bad documentary to start with. It's horribly crafted as a documentary. but aside from that, he's an absolutely loathsome, vile, and I...
Oh, wait a minute. I remember now. That's where he's a rapper. I just stepped away real quick. They'll turn on the fan. I'm sorry. He tries to like talk about his rapping career and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And,
but he wasn't actually...
He was trying to start.
Or start, yes. Yeah.
He was trying to start a rap career. And it's like, what the hell are you thinking? Because why? Why would anyone let him do that?
And I remember there was a big debate on it, because this was, within the past 2 years at least, right?
That this was like 2009.
Oh, wow. Okay, a few years ago.
He made a whole big deal about how he's retiring from acting. He's not going to be acting anymore, and yada, yada, yada. And to his credit, he waited 3 more years before before another movie he was in came out. But so what? I don't care.
But which was weird, because I'm just like, okay, you haven't even started a whole bunch of movies. So how are you going to be tired? Because the only movie that I actually seen him in was Walk the Line, as when he portrayed as Johnny Cash. And that was it.
Well, that was his most well-known up to that point. I mean, that's the one that... Didn't he get an Oscar for that or some crap?
I think he got a Grammy for it or something like that. He might have got a... I know he was nominated.
Whatever. I mean, I saw that movie, and the only reason that movie was even watchable was because of all of the other people in it. Mm-hmm. His performance wasn't anything stand out to me. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've never been impressed with this guy. I don't understand why people think he's such a great actor. He's not. He's not a good actor. He's not even a good person. He's barely a person at all. And I don't understand why people keep drinking the Kool-Aid on this guy. And I will say that, if he is cast as Doctor Strange, there's a very real possibility I may not bother to go see that one.
Well, and back
I may actually not see a Marvel movie because this guy would be in it.
I gotta admit, not that I probably won't see it, but I'm not too stoked for a Joaquin Phoenix Dr. Phoenix Medicine Woman. No.
Wow.
Wow. That's kind of funny in its own right.
Right. No, Dr. Strange. I just don't. I don't see him personally, and
I don't want to.
I've already felt he's kind of a wooden actor to me. Like he just has the same tone most of the time.
He doesn't have the voice or the look of it.
Yeah.
You know, he just doesn't have anything to him to actually play that. You know, Doctor Strange is a well-known villain.
No, he's a hero.
Oh, Doctor Strange?
Doctor Strange is a hero.
Oh, I thought he was a villain.
No, he's a hero.
Oh, I'm thinking of the other one. Okay.
Yeah, he's a hero.
He's strange.
He is strange, though. No, he's a hero. Pretty much the staple of the Mystic Marvelverse, in a sense. So.
Yeah. But you know, I have made the decision that if they do cast Joaquin Phoenix as Doctor Strange, I will, at the very least, in form of protest, not contribute to any of its opening weekend dollars.
Yeah. Seriously. I just don't see it. I was hoping at least for, what's his face? What were we saying that was like the middle ground from Grey's Anatomy, and then he was in, Transformers 3? Seriously, I can't remember his name. Anyways, him, that guy. I could buy him.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
As soon as it comes to me, it'll pop in. Patrick Dempsey, there we go. Patrick Dempsey.
Oh.
Yeah, that's... I don't see him acting, but I see him visually at least at that. That I can buy a little bit.
But no, I'm not going to base this solely on visuals.
No, of course.
Yeah. You know, I still contend that that you know Viggo Mortensen would be a far better choice.
Okay.
I think Joaquin Phoenix could actually play a good Mr. Freeze because all you got to do is be wooden, and he's perfect at that.
Huh. He kind of has that that weird little turn with his nose, and you know when he smiles. For some reason,
honestly, Mr. Freeze for a comic book character. I would say he might make a good Clayface. The reason being because the character that he seems to play over and over and over again is the tortured actor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go. There's Clayface. You know, he doesn't even. I mean, he can keep mumbling like he does all the time anyway because you know he's mumbling through a bunch of clay. You know.
Well, there you go, Warner Brothers. There goes your next villain and your next actor who could play him.
Yeah.
Snipe him out from Marvel so that I don't need to frickin' boycott Doctor Strange.
Man. No, as soon as John posted it on my Facebook and on the Facebooks, and he's like, "What do you think?" And I go, "I'm a little in shock, and most definitely Dak is probably gonna hate this." I said, "I know it," and I even Ed, I was actually surprised you were like, "Nah, you're not for it either."
I don't know, like Dak said, we don't know why he's well-known, and he's a great actor. That's why I'm just like, you only starred in one movie that I was very interested in seeing. And I was only interested in seeing Walk the Line because it was a music film that had to do about Johnny Cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty much it. You could have got a toothpick and did a puppet show about Walk the Line, and I would watch it.
but let's take his performance in Signs.
Oh wow! Luckily, he didn't really have much there.
Pretty much,
right? Or let's go to a Gladiator,
which was just a thumbs down and a weird smirk or a weird smug face.
Yeah. I mean, fell asleep on that movie.
You know the actor that played
it's
his
a good
sister,
movie this, though.
The actor that played his sister in that film.
Mm-hmm.
The two of them, they could have just put Donnie and Marie in there, and it would have been better.
And they would have had got a dance number, too. It would have been great.
Might as well have. I just don't understand what people see in this guy.
Well, apparently they like him. Apparently it's in the works. I hope it's not. I really hope. I really hope not. But
the ever-decreasing chance that these talks could fall through is my only through line at this point.
But you know, we could take the argument. Although I think it's a good little discussion actually to bring this up, but we felt most of us felt the same way about Heath Ledger, okay? And I'm just saying, as in general, at least most of us. I'm not saying me personally. I ended up enjoying.
Heath Ledger. I mean, yeah, there were a lot of people that you know lost their shit about that one too, but I wasn't one of those.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it myself.
Because you know, in the same way that I'm not one of those, you know, when Ben Affleck was announced as cast for Batman. Mm-hmm. So many people lost their shit, and people can listen to the damn archives and hear me saying, no, that's not a bad choice.
Yeah.
That is a decent choice.
And of course, I agree. As soon as, you know...
Because the dude has talent, and he has been getting better with his talent over the last 10, 15 years. You know, put Daredevil out of your mind.
Yep.
This dude has gotten way better since then.
Yep. I don't remember getting Ed's point of view on...
And with Heath Ledger, when that was announced, I was like, good, because that dude can act.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I really didn't care. I was just like, oh, they got Ben Affleck to play Batman? It's going to be interesting. Mm-hmm. And that was it.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, most casting announcements, I'm like, okay, because most of the time, especially with Marvel, most of the casting they've done has been spot on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, when they announced Hemsworth to be Thor, I was like, that's a solid choice.
And it worked, yeah. Right.
And all I really knew him from was the opening scenes from Star Trek.
And all I knew him from was Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, you know, that opening scene from Star Trek was enough for me to go, this is a guy worth keeping an eye on. And then he gets cast as Thor, I'm like, that's solid. You know, when Chris Evans was announced to be Captain America, I'm like, that's great. And he surpassed all expectations.
Right.
You know, Robert Downey Jr., when he was announced as Iron Man, I'm like, perfect choice. Way back when he was first announced, a lot of people were like, really? That has been? I was like, no, that's a perfect choice.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
But this Joaquin Phoenix thing just infuriates me to no end.
Well, let's hope it doesn't get further. And if it does, let's just hope they know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Well, they're still not going to get my opening weekend dollars.
Speaking of weekend stuff, Ghostbusters is playing this weekend.
Yes, it's celebrating its 30th anniversary this week.
Mm-hmm,
which... Let me tell you how much that honks me off.
Let's hear Dak. Let's go.
So, I'm a member of the Marcus Theaters Movie Rewards Program.
Okay.
I'm out here in the middle of frickin' Iowa. I get an email from them saying, 30th anniversary Ghostbusters. You know... I can get $5, you know, popcorn and soda with the thing, you know, with purchase of ticket. I'm like, awesome! I am so there, it hurts. I hop on the website to just check the show times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the closest one, there's only one theater in all of Iowa that's showing it, and that's a good 300-mile drive.
Wow. You know, and I kind of was, I did not check our local theater, which I could probably just check up right now. But,
well, you guys are near Chicago.
Yeah.
So guarantee there's at least one.
So Ghostbuster music real quick, which
I'm
surprised.
Completely honked off that I get cast out of this one because I live in the middle of BFE.
Yeah, well, a lot of times when that does happen, if people don't know, you kind of have to go to the next major city, you know. A lot of the greater city art house theaters usually play those types of things.
Here's the thing. In Iowa,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which is just flat plains for most people who don't know.
Pretty much. But, you know, when you think major cities in Iowa, that already doesn't mesh well.
Mm-hmm.
But the major cities of Iowa, most would figure Davenport,
yes.
Des Moines, Sioux City, maybe Waterloo. The only theater in all of Iowa that's showing the 30th anniversary Ghostbusters release for a week only,
mm-hmm.
is in Cedar Falls.
Ooh.
And how far is that from you?
That's a long-ass way.
Wow.
Cedar Falls is a couple of towns over from Waterloo.
Wow. Yeah, Waterloo's like halfway into. Yeah, now that I remember.
We're talking. You know, might as well be Wisconsin.
Pretty much.
Because it's just below the border of Wisconsin. So, yeah, I would have to drive 2-3 hours to get to the closest theater to me that's planned.
Yeah, luckily for us here in the Lake County area, Lake County, Illinois, people don't know, we got Round Lake Beach, which is usually what plays a lot of these for us. We got the Regal Lincolnshire there. So far, Regal Theaters is playing it within the local area. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, and we got three theaters within 45-minute driving distance. So I apologize, Dick. I apologize.
But if you already own it on VHS or DVD, it's really no reason to go see it.
Oh, no, there's...
Hold on.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Okay. The thing is, you know, when a movie gets its first theatrical release, that's one thing. You know, you've got the theater experience with all the other asshats and a whole bunch of people turning around with their phones.
Justin over here cracking up.
But when you have a re-release like this, a 30th anniversary re-release, Ghostbusters, you know that all of the people in that theater are going to be fans of the movie.
Well, they're going to watch
the movie. So you have a communal thing with all of these other fans of the movie watching it on a big screen.
Well, yeah, but there are some people who just like, okay, you know, yeah, it's celebrating 30 years, but y'all could easily put this on DVD or Blu-ray.
Well, I own it on DVD.
If they're going to bring it to the theater, I would actually bring it to the IMAX or something and make it like a special event, you know.
I don't see Ghostbusters personally as an IMAX thing, though.
It is a special event because it's a fan community. It's a chance to see it with a bunch of other fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. But overall, personally, I don't see it as an IMAX thing. I see it as a standard, at least. Mm-hmm. I think they could even do 3D in some aspects, given the ghost that are in the movie. But not saying they should. Of course, I'm sorry. I didn't want to send that out to any movie execs out there who want to take that idea. Please, I would rather not.
I don't care about 3D as long as there's a 2D option.
Of course.
I think the only reason why I say it is IMAX because paying tribute to the guy that passed away who made Ghostbusters. I mean that would be something nice to do.
Harold Ramis.
Yeah, and I mean even though this movie is for the fans and stuff like that, there's gonna be some people who do drive out and go see it and enjoy it and do it with other fans. I just feel like since this is a timeless and classic movie that everybody loves and enjoys, I feel like it for a 30th anniversary. You know, I think it just needed more special treatment and pay honor and pay respect and. To the director and stuff who passed away.
There could be something else done. Yeah, most definitely.
I mean,
the director was Ivan Reitman. He's
correct.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's why I'm just like.
Harold Ramis wrote it and starred in it.
Yeah, so that's why I just feel like, it would be better at an IMAX or something. It's just like on a big screen than just a regular movie screen with fans.
Just to have a 30th anniversary.
Yeah, why not?
Release at all is pretty big in its own right.
Yeah.
And even if you've got people who have never seen it before. They're still there to, you know, when you have a re-release like this, even people who haven't seen before are sitting in the theater to see it because this is such a landmark thing. You know, it already, it's in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
So you're seeing it with a community. Mm-hmm, and that's what seeing something in the theater is all about. That's why I always loved, you know, the midnight movies.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're seeing it with a bunch of movie fans.
It's true. I agree. I agree.
You know, having to see something on opening weekend, you know, any other movie on opening weekend is, you know, there's people that are there to see the movie, but then there's people just to be in the theater. You know, and would rather be playing with their damn phones, which I want to smack the crap out of every single one.
I'm the type of person that as soon as I get in there, I don't turn it off. At least I turn it down and leave it in my pocket, you know.
I'll sit there and play Sudoku until the moment that the trailers start rolling.
Of course.
As soon as the trailers roll, my phone is off.
Exactly. I don't off, but yeah, it's away. My phone is
away. I have to turn it off because I have like a crap ton of alarms on my phone for various things. And it was maybe a month ago. I don't remember which one I was seeing, but halfway into the movie, one of my freaking alarms went off. Even though I had silenced it didn't matter with the alarms. I was like, oh, yeah, I just shut it off as soon as the trailers start rolling.
It is, though. I was with my brother a few times, but this most recent time was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And he had his phone out, and I was like, dude, hey, put that away. I'm like, you can let everyone know, you know, blah, blah, blah. You're seeing the movie. You could have told people that before, just not answer the phone at least. And all you see is this, you know, big old phone with the light coming up, and, you know, you just make a center of yourself, and we're sitting in the middle row. And
act the shit out of everything.
I'm like, bang. We're watching a movie. We're watching a movie, people.
Yeah.
Put your phones away. I'm theater etiquette. I gotta admit, you gotta have some theater etiquette, you know.
And so few do. I mean, when I went and saw Guardians,
mm-hmm.
there were people with their freaking e-readers up in the front row.
Wow. Were they that bored or something?
I don't know. I mean, they stopped once the movie actually started, but uh-huh. they were still farting around on their goddamn tablets or whatever. During the freaking trailers and stuff. Like, really?
No, it's bad.
You pay this much money for a movie ticket. The trailers are part of the movie experience. Shut that crap off and take in the freaking experience.
Right. It's true. It really is. Do you see that a lot when you go to the movies? Is it bad for you there, Ed?
No, not really.
Really? No, mm-hmm. I've seen it a lot more. It's growing most definitely.
And then, you know, the same thing holds for me with when the credits start to roll.
Mm-hmm.
You see practically everybody turning their damn phones back, you know, start fiddle farting with their phones.
Yeah.
Leave the theater first.
Yeah.
Get out, then you can fuck with your phone. Not while, because there are still people, okay, me, sitting in the theater watching.
Grandpa Dad.
I still want to watch the damn credits. Is that so much to ask?
Yeah, at least wait till the movie's over, most definitely.
Right.
Well, that's the problem, is that most people figure the credits are rolling, the movie's over, I can fuck with my phone now.
Or when people are actually making phone calls, hey, I'm about to get out the movie theater. It's like, just wait till you're out the movie theater. I'm going to call you back. Right. You're seriously steps away from the door. Just wait till you get out the movie theater.
Exactly.
You know, and especially when, you know, it should be common knowledge that there's going to be a post-credit scene.
Right.
Yeah.
That means the movie's not over yet.
Most definitely, yeah.
Which
there are a few movies out there, people, that have post-credit scenes, and it's not worth it. You're already seeing them in the trailers.
Pretty much.
No, I agree. You got to have some theater etiquette. It's the best way to have an enjoyable experience. How are you guys fine with, you know, maybe discussing the movie, you know, real quickly? Is that, like, a big deal for you guys at
not
all?
Not for me.
No, I'll quick, like, they'll ask me questions if it's, like, hey, who's this character, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, so-and-so, or we'll quickly say, man, that scene was awesome, you know, or, you know, I kind of feel the same as, like, laughing, you know, out loud little bit, but not getting into a discussion, of course.
Comedic elements, well, yeah, laughing out loud, that's part of the experience.
Yeah.
People asking questions, save your questions till the end.
You could do that too, yeah, yeah.
Honestly, because all that, you know,
it is a disruption.
Before the movie starts, there's, please silence your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
No talking. Hello?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. I don't mind a quick little yes, no, this is who, but I don't want to get into a movie discussion because I'm there personally wanting to watch the movie. You know, I don't want to take my eyes off the screen.
I don't even like that because, you know, the fact is that, you know, a theater is a bunch of people crowded into a room.
He's like sardines, you know,
A couple of people whispering at each other is going to be a distraction to...
That's true, too.
At least the people surrounding them.
It is. I am the type of guy that goes, what? I honestly got to say that when I see certain things.
Yeah, I kind of do that,
I'll do
too,
a little,
sometimes.
What was that? But that's about it.
But, you know, I can accept that because that's the reaction to the movie. That's actually you paying attention to the damn movie.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
You know, it's...
Like when I watched Man of Steel, and they had that scene at the end. Although I'm not getting the Man of Steel hate, because personally, I really did enjoy Man of Steel.
We already know.
But towards the end of the movie, when the army girl was like, he's cute, I was like, what? I was just like, really? That's how the end of the movie off is? He just flies away and be like, I'm not going anywhere. And then pans over, and she goes, "He's cute."
Right.
That was my scene type of thing.
See, for me, thankfully, a facepalm isn't very loud.
You agree, at least, with that? That ended kind of? Okay,
yes,
all right.
I do agree. That's, okay. I do agree with that. Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
Among the so many sins of Man of Steel, that was...
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, one thing I would like to plug is CinemaSins. I don't know if you catch that at all. No, you should check it out.
Oh, YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah. Just because there's a lot of times we're talking about movies, and a lot of our critiques...
Those are fairly entertaining.
Yeah, fairly entertaining, and they kind of hit on point with a lot of things. Some, of course, nitpick.
Some they just go completely...
Yeah, they go crazy.
There was actually a couple of them where right up front they're like, yeah, we're just going to... This is going to be nitpicking.
Yep.
We all All right.
Well, they even post in their movie in some of the descriptions, or even in some of the descriptions in the video, in the actual video itself. Uh-huh. We really enjoy this movie, you know, but these are the nitpicks. You know?
Right.
So, yeah. So, check them out. They did a lot of good movies, you know, and even up to recently they did some movies. And
they did
the original Ninja Turtles, which I think I might have sent that into the Facebook page. But either way, that was a good nitpick that really brought out a lot of things that we were talking about. Of the new Ninja Turtle movie, so it was kind of funny. But anyways, anyways, cinema sins, movie sins are, quite there. So anyways.
Yes.
Well, we won't nitpick anymore, I guess, in that sense about the movie theater etiquette and whatnot. But so there's Ghostbusters. It's in theaters. Check it out while you can. Is it just for this weekend? Does anyone know?
Well,
just
while you can, this if week. You can. 1 week only.
1 week, yeah. So we still got 1 week. I still actually have a free Regal ticket eventually.
Yeah, I think you still have till Thursday if a theater near you happens to be playing it.
And it probably dwindle down, and you're just going to have to go to Chicago by that time. I wouldn't be surprised either. So, but yeah, check it out while you can. Great film. One of my there's just something about Ghostbusters that it hits the right tones. You know, it really does. It just right. Did you actually, speaking of not necessarily Cinema Sins, but Cinema Facts Info, Eddie Murphy was supposed to be Winston in Ghostbusters.
Oh, really?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That would have been a very different movie.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Although I agree with some people, Winston sometimes took a back seat in both the movies. But still, I'm a fan of Winston, people. I got his autograph on my Winston toy out of all the Ghostbusters.
That's cool. That's
but
cool.
Still, it's a little weird that we would have Eddie Murphy Winston for something. It would be weird. It really would have.
Yeah, and honestly, he would have forced that character more to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
I don't think that would have been a good thing because...
I agree.
The character of Winston Zeddemore was... The whole purpose of that character, especially in the first one, was to kind of be the audience's liaison.
Correct.
And, you know, if Eddie Murphy had played it, that wouldn't have been the case because it would have been, hey, Eddie Murphy's up on the screen.
It's true. I could see it. I already see it now. Just that
Ernie
Murphy
Hudson.
Laugh.
Yeah, Ernie Hudson is a little bit more of a chameleon. I'm going to say it. He's a much better actor as well.
I will agree. Actually would feel Winston, Ernie Hudson offered a more character as in I felt Winston was this other, I felt his personality, and I felt him as a suave ghost hunter, to be honest with you, out of all those, especially when he smokes cigarettes, when he's talking, his one-liners, they're most of them are the most hilarious part of the movie,
exactly.
To be honest with you.
And
you
I think,
I mean, how many people can deliver, "That's a big Twinkie," and make that line funny?
And I think Eddie Murphy's comedy around that time was just the same old, same old.
Well, he's loud, and the Winston that at least we saw, at least what we saw with the Ghostbusters, wasn't loud characters at all.
Right.
They really weren't. They took... go ahead.
He was the understated. He was the straight man of the bunch.
Correct. Because he's like, "I'll just do anything for a paycheck, man." And then next thing you know, you're kind of going on a ride with him, learning it with him. And
now, I believe the line was, "If there's a steady paycheck, then I'll do whatever you want."
Exactly.
but
still, there's something about the way the original Ghostbusters, of course. Ghostbusters 2 was fun, but that original Ghostbusters, just given the 80s, I don't know, given how they wrote it, given how they filmed it, I think even how they filmed that movie is a little different compared to other movies of that time as well.
Right.
Just the way it comes off, the feel of that movie. Go ahead, Dad.
The original Ghostbusters is very much an anomaly in that it is very much of its time, but also transcends that time.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to do, and it does it very well.
Oh, man.
I mean, the only other comedies from that time frame that even come close to having that kind of almost timelessness would be like Caddyshack, Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
That about covers it.
Yeah.
And those are, you know, a lot of the same people.
That's true. And it was kind of the same comedy as well, for the most part, because it was the same people.
Yeah, it was definitely different enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people can crap on Ghostbusters 2 all they like. Yeah, it wasn't as good as the first. What can be?
Correct.
You know, that's kind of a hard act to follow. But in and of itself, that was a very entertaining movie.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
I fell in love with those characters. I constantly think about it. I constantly just ghost. There's things in Ghostbusters. It made me love Bill Murray. Seriously, I personally fell in love with Bill Murray with that. And his character was even more hilarious in the second movie. For me, that was one of Bill Murray's movies. Like, hands down. When I see that, I think Bill Murray right off the bat compared to the rest of the characters. Although,
but he's changed now. His attitude now is just like...
Well, there's been a debate that he's kind of been always like that. But recently,
he's always been a little bit off.
But recently, he is going through a lot of stuff. Of course, we're not going to... We kind of went into that with Robin Williams a little bit, but he's been going through a lot of stuff in the past handful of years personally, and who knows if that can attribute to kind of the rising, I guess, I don't even know what you want to call that, but his rising character right now, you know, personality that we're seeing
personality.
Now.
Okay.
But he's still a great actor. Actually, there's Monuments Man, which I was about to watch, but, you know, there's a lot of movies that he's getting still good acclaimed reviews of, and I'm still a fan of Bill Murray, but there are some things that people are not liking.
There's been a handful of movies that he's done in recent years that have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But for me, you know, the absolute, you know, apex of Bill Murray is, you know, Ghostbusters, Where the Buffalo Roam,
yeah.
Caddyshack. You know, that pretty much runs it right there.
Here, let's, go ahead.
I enjoyed Lost in Translation, but that was a very different flick. Rushmore was fantastic.
Wasn't he in Zombieland, too?
Yes, very briefly.
Yeah, yeah, playing himself. And that was probably one of his best performances, playing himself in the last several, you know, in the last decade, at least.
Right.
Here, actually, I got some, maybe play a minute of Winston Zeddemore clips, and I actually got this queued up so Zach can hear, so.
All right.
Yeah.
That.
Get that going here. There we go.
If there's a steady paycheck in it,
there we go.
I'll believe anything you say.
This is Winston Zeddemore. He's here about the job.
Beautiful. You're hired. Ray Stantz, Pete Venkman.
Congratulations.
Can you help me, please? Welcome aboard.
What do you mean to be? That's a big Twinkie. Tell him about the Twinkie.
Henry, do you believe in God?
Yeah, well, I do. And I love Jesus' style, you know. What are you so involved with that?
Henry, do you remember something in the Bible about the last days when the dead would rise from the grave?
It became as blood.
And the seas boiled and the skies fell.
See how smooth that is?
Judgment.
Eddie Murphy couldn't deliver that line. Even though it's simple car talk.
Right.
Ray, has it ever occurred to you that maybe the reason we've been so busy lately is because the dead have been rising from the grave?
He's on to something.
How about a little music?
Yeah. That's bad.
Yeah.
Hold it! Now, we're actually going to go before a federal judge and say that some moldy Babylonian god is going to drop in on Central Park West and start tearing up the city?
Sumerian, not Babylonian.
Yeah, big difference.
But I got to get my own lawyer.
I'm Winston Zeddemore, Your Honor. But I've only been with the company for a couple of weeks. But I got to tell you, these things are real. Since I joined these men, I have seen shit that'll turn you white. Oh, Gozer was a man. Mine is holy. This job is definitely not worth $11.5 a year. I love this town!
All right, that's enough right there. Those, I was a little worried that they didn't get the, but those right there towards the end were some of my favorite lines. So,
the most important one was omitted.
Which one was that?
Ray, when someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
I'm actually surprised because the way they lined this movie up was from beginning of each movie. So right now, right before I ended it, was going right when he did New York was the end of Ghostbusters 1.
Right.
Which would have been pretty much right that scene. So yeah, you're correct, Dak. And they went right into Ghostbusters 2 here. So
this stuff would turn you white.
Like, that was great.
Really?
And that's why, once again, back to that argument, Eddie Murphy couldn't pull that off, seriously.
No, it would have become like Beverly Hills Cop or something like The Golden Child or something like that, you know.
Which Golden Child, one from my favorite movies, actually. One, no, not yours.
Your Honor,
sorry,
I see some crazy stuff. This stuff would make you look white. I would have been like, oh, he is just... Someone just gave him the knife. He wants the knife.
Yeah, Murphy would have been way too over the top.
Yeah. Do we got, let's listen to some, let's listen to Bill Murray real quick, and then we'll get off Ghostbusters here. Hopefully this goes around. I hope
these men are consummate snowball artists.
Yes.
They use sense and nerve gases.
Bill Murray
to
here, people.
Hallucinations. People think they're seeing ghosts. And they call these bozos who conveniently show up to deal with the problem with a fake electronic light show.
Everything was fine with our system until the power grid was shut off by Dickless here.
They caused an explosion.
Is this true?
Yes, it's true. This man has no dick.
There's much better Bill Murray.
And during the tussle, he hollers, "Well, that's what I heard."
You gotta admit, for a PG movie, they got away with, like, shit, dick,
exactly.
Well, yeah, this was PG circa, what, 85?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. PG was different back then.
I don't think PG-13 was there yet, was it?
No, I think there was a PG-13 by that time.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was. But yeah, I gotta admit, I remember back in the day watching PG and they get away with, like what we were talking about with Howard the Duck, duck boobs.
Duck boobs. Ghost boobs. I would love to see some ghost boobs.
Oh, well, Speaking of that, we get a Ghostbusters ghost blowjob in Ghostbusters 1. So if you're watching Ghostbusters and you got kids, this is a little reminder of yourself. There is ghosts that suck off people and swearing.
It's not shown.
Of course it's not. It's not. It's insinuated.
Well, it can't be no worse than Puppet Master 2 when the little doll is kissing the other dude and all the leeches come out her mouth.
Yeah.
but that's not exactly PG.
No, that's true.
But you know what? I think one parent actually took their kid to go see Puppet Masters because they thought it was a puppet show.
Exactly. Of course.
The kids.
There's silly people
That. That's just stupid.
Thank you, Dick. Thank you. My mom checked everything before we watched it practically.
My mom didn't care. She took me to go see Action Jackson, and I loved
that's
that
a great movie, though.
Even though it was rated R. I was just like, oh.
I saw Half-Baked with my mom.
Uh-oh.
You didn't like that?
I never seen Half-Baked.
Really?
I haven't seen
Hilarious.
It.
Hilarious.
I have to watch it.
I've
seen parts of it on Comedy Central, but I haven't seen it all.
Oh, come on. Yes. Yeah, you got to see it. I think I might even have it. I might have to let you borrow the DVD or whatever. If I find it. But anyways, yeah. What's up? What do you want? There you go. But so anyways, there. See Ghostbusters, be careful, though. It's just a little reminder. There's some things you might want. Not a little kid to hear or see as a PG movie or whatever.
Yes,
so.
Get your popcorn and nachos and enjoy.
But anyways.
Which I'll probably end up going to see it this week. I know I haven't seen it in a while, so I'll probably go find a theater and go see it, like, probably this weekend or something.
Yeah, we'll see what's up. If you go and you have time, well, it might be till Thursday, like Dak says. You got to see it between now and Thursday.
And Thursday. I'll probably end up going to see it like maybe Tuesday or something.
Well, if I have off, just let me know and
I'll come scoop you up.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind checking it out on the big screen again. Why not? get some popcorn, relax, chill out, watch Ghostbusters, and laugh my butt off. I laugh every just
my,
I la- every
my
time.
TV's
I
just gonna have to be big enough a screen.
we just gotta try. We'll drive all the way out to Iowa. No, every
yeah,
time
swing,
I single
swing by and grab me on the road.
Yeah, and then we'll come back.
Well, that won't be until next year because I'll be like, I got a vacation. Yeah. I should go surprise Dak.
It's really just. I think it's just about 3 hours over there. So.
It's close to here, right?
Well, yeah, we're kind of where Dak is, though. Yeah, it's closer.
Close is a relative term.
Yeah, it's closer, but yeah, it's still about three and a half hour ride, so it's not extremely bad. But
and that's why I keep thinking of a Cedar Point. But just like, is it Cedar Point or Cedar Rapids the amusement park?
I want to say it's Cedar Point is the amusement park.
Okay, because I keep thinking that's in Dak State in Iowa, and it's just like. If this is in your thing, I might as well just go see Dak and then go to the park.
Isn't Cedar Rapids in Minnesota or something like that?
It may be.
Anyways, whatever. don't quote us on that, people.
Cedar Rapids is in Iowa.
Is in Iowa. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course, we're not so far away from Minnesota as well. But
oh, that's a 5-hour drive.
But anyways, yeah.
Which I want to go back to. I actually got to go to Mall of America.
Did you?
Yes.
I've never been.
It's nice. But we went to go see my mom won an autograph for Tyler Perry because we saw one of his plays there. Yeah. And then that Sunday, Tyler Perry was doing a signing. And they had just announced that his TV shows and stuff. So I actually got to meet him. He was pretty cool.
That's cool. That's cool. I'm not a big fan of his shows, but...
Yeah. Oh, I don't care about his shows.
Good, okay. I don't know why I'm not a big fan of his shows for some reason.
I know why I'm not.
Well, I'm probably sure.
And we'll just leave that right there and move on.
I'm sure I have my reasons.
You prefer the Nutty Professor, Dak. Don't lie.
Did he write that or something? Or
no, Nutty Professor is Eddie Murphy and Janet Jackson.
Oh, you mean because of the dragon and everything?
Unless you're talking about the original.
Oh, the Nutty Professor?
Yeah.
Wasn't that Dick Van Dyke?
No, that was... I'm sorry, actually. I forgot his name.
Jerry Lewis?
Jerry Lewis, yeah.
Oh, that crazy nut. Oh, he's annoying to me. I don't know. I don't know about you.
That.
Like, I'm not French or anything because they love him over there. I can't stand.
Well, it's because he used to sing a lot and do tours over there. So.
Oh, he was just annoying.
Yeah, I've never really been a huge fan of his, but a lot of people hold him up to some comedic genius, to be honest with you.
Give me just
moment.
Yeah, he had his moment. I'll agree with that.
Give me just Godfrey, and I'll be good to go.
I'm fine with Gilbert Godfrey.
I love Gilbert Godfrey.
He's small chunks. He's got some newer stuff. I think that's a podcast too. Anyways, some newer stuff. He's good. I've seen some of his stand up. So, anyways, did you have any of the any other notes that we didn't hit on yet?
Oh,
Ed?
Let me see. About the Ghostbusters, IGN, Nintendo. Oh, since it's about to become a lot of the fall movies coming out, if you look even on Yahoo, we got a lot of thrillers, a lot of horror, and a lot of comedies coming out around this time. And the only comic movie that's coming out is Birdman, and I think it's November 7th that's coming out.
Oh, cool. I can see that for my birthday.
Big Hero 6.
Which one? Oh, Big Hero 6. Yeah, that one too. But it's... I don't know about you guys. Do you feel like for this year, 2014, in movies that the earlier part of the year, it felt like remakes were being announced, and then like the mid-season, like the summer, is all the comic movies, and then everything else just comes out, like the horror and the thriller stuff.
Well, yeah,
comes
it
out.
Is. It is seasonal. We got more action movies during. Yeah, it is during spring and summer. Drama doesn't hit till the fall. And in between that is obviously a mix. Well, of course, we got the horror because what's coming up? October. So it's going to be more movies pushed to horror. Although we do get some horror here and there throughout the year. Everything's really pushed in those seasons because...
Well, that's been the release trends for years.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Essentially, what you've got is... let's start with the summer blockbuster season.
Much easier, yeah.
That's pretty much what it is. Which has been steadily expanding for the past few years, all the way into May. But then once the summer blockbuster season is done, which is first couple of weeks of August, as we've seen.
We're officially closed.
Yet at the end of August, generally what we've got is all of the stuff that they didn't feel was worth trying to compete with the blockbusters, and it's not quite stuff that they would consider worth a damn for the award season.
Right.
So,
but it's interesting to me. Like around this time, I feel like this is kind of my movie of the year stuff when the fall things come out. Where like in the springtime, I feel like, man, these are some good enjoyable movies that's introducing in the year. And then when the summer blockbusters come, it's just like pick and choose what you want to go see. But I feel like in the fall time, it's just like I feel like my movie of the year is ramped up during the fall time. I don't know about you guys or how you feel. Because it's just I'll see movie after movie after movie in the fall time compared to spring and summer.
Well, and really? That's because mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that you like is probably a little bit more off the beaten track.
Yeah, I guess I feel like this is the concept sometimes is different. So when I see it and I'd be like, wow, that was really enjoyable for it to be like independent or just for something that's not really known, but it's mind-shockingly good. You know, it's always in the fall time for me that I feel like that starts being my movie of the year. Like
part of the reason for that is because a lot of the stuff that is released in the fall
uh-huh.
is stuff that the studios either don't know how to market or just don't want to market.
That's true too. You do see it's. I call it the fall dump,
and that's what it is.
Okay?
Yeah. There's actually industry insiders that refer to it as the dumping season.
Cool.
And it feels so good. Even though they call it a fall dump, it feels so good to me because it just feels like, yeah, this is weird or this is odd. They tried something. This didn't get advertised much. And I'd be like, these are the most of the movies that I'm going to really buy during when they come out on Blu-ray compared to something in around like summer, like the blockbuster stuff. Like Captain America is coming out this month in September, I should say, or next month.
Next year?
Of this year. Captain America 2 would be out. Winter Soldier would be out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, yeah, thank you. DVD. Yeah. We also have Godzilla released already on DVD, which I will eventually see.
That's supposed to be coming out soon, right? I don't think it...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Streaming. Thank you for that. It's next month for the Blu-ray release, and I think the overseas gets it early, and then we have it here for streaming on like Amazon and other places, so...
Which I'll probably end up buying too because I didn't go see it in the movies because I'm kind of curious on how
I'm gonna buy it. I most definitely it's worth the buy. So,
well, like I said, that's my actual first Godzilla movie that I ever seen. Like I didn't even see the Matthew Broderick one or all the old school ones because it wasn't. I definitely in my household it wasn't a big genre to watch.
Okay,
you know, and we watch for me. I watch movies that my mom watch or my dad watch. So by the time I got actually to my 20s and I started paying for myself to get into movies, that's when I start, you know, divulging into different genres of what I like and what I don't like. So seeing Godzilla, the remake one, saying that that's my first time and stuff, would actually be my first Godzilla because I never got into the old school ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it came to Japan and movies or the Asian market and movies, it was anime or it was kung fu flicks.
Okay.
Well, nothing wrong with a good kung fu flick.
You know, and I didn't watch, I did watch Power Rangers, but I didn't know that footage was from a different show. Yeah. So I didn't really get into that stuff until like later on.
Oh, I just want to let you know, the website's up on our end now. So now here in local area, we have the website back.
Oh, and just to let everybody know, the movie, the band called Death. If you have Netflix, you could watch it on there.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it is available for streaming on Netflix. I don't know Hulu yet, but I know definitely on Netflix. You just probably got to search for it, and it'll come up.
And I know it's also, it was at least free for Amazon Prime. So if you have Amazon Prime, then it's available streaming there as well.
Man, that movie was just so good.
Amazon Prime's also a good thing, I guess a subscription, a yearly subscription to get. So,
yeah.
It's $50, was it?
It's more like $80.
Was it? Oh, so I got it as a $50 thing. So, so I got lucky.
It rose on your nose.
Yeah. So I'm glad I kind of got grandfathered in, I guess.
If you consider it, look at it this way. $80 for a year of Amazon Prime with all of the streaming options that they have available.
Mm-hmm.
Versus the $8 a month for Netflix. You know, basically you're getting 10 months, you're paying 10 months worth of Netflix for an extra 2 months worth of
content.
Content.
Yeah. Plus the fact that that also gives you free 2-day shipping for Amazon orders and things like that. So,
which I also got to add that Amazon has bought Twitch. So, and Twitch is the streaming system for people who play video games that people want to watch. It was reported that Google brought them, but that deal failed and Amazon ended up buying them. Because I think Google was going to buy them for $1 billion, but it didn't go through. So Amazon had actually brought Twitch. So anyone who wants to read that story, you can check that out on different websites and stuff.
And discussing Amazon is actually a good little transition into another bit of rumor mill news.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
With the apparent possible resurgence of the live-action version of The Tick.
Now, as soon as I laid eyes on that on the headline, which I believe was an Uproxx headline, which personally I'm tired of Uproxx, to be honest with you. But anyways,
talk about a rumor mill.
Yeah, well, more than that. But yeah, I was giddy because I didn't check out Tick until almost I think it was last year that I mentioned it, and Dak
really?
Brought it. I remember. I think it was last year. So. I watched the whole season on Netflix, and I was sold. I seriously was sold. So
it's funny because I'm one of the only people I know that actually saw an episode of it when it was originally broadcast.
I will say when it came out, because it was done in a season, or was it even cut short within that season? I don't remember.
There wasn't even a full season.
Was it a full
season? Nine episodes.
Wasn't it on Comedy Central?
They might have picked it up. Yeah.
Yeah, they were playing the reruns.
Okay. When did it? What network did it originally air on?
Fox.
Yes. Thank you.
On Fox. Okay. Because I remember. See, every time I hear about The Tick, I think of the cartoon version.
Well, yeah,
and
it
most,
was. It's
most
a
people do.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is.
The cartoon was, you know, that ran for 3 seasons, so that is going to be more known. But the live action The Tick was 2001 of all times, and it's. It's
really?
Funny because if you remember when Family Guy got taken off the air, and then because of their massive DVD sales, they got reintroduced, and that first episode where they were back, the little skit of Peter Griffin saying, "Hey guys, sorry to tell you, we've been canceled." Oh, canceled? Yeah, to make rooms for, and then he just lists all of the shows that Fox has since had and. You know, gotten rid of in the time since Family Guy was last aired. Firefly was listed in there. Andy Richter Controls the Universe was listed in there. The Tick was listed in there, among so many others.
And Firefly is such a good... And I actually got to go back and rewatch all of Firefly because I love... what was the movie?
Renfie.
Serenity, yeah, that movie was good, but I didn't get to see all. I haven't seen Firefly, but I hear such good things about that show, and I really want to go back and watch it. Like, I think it's on Netflix, so I think I will never die.
I cannot recommend Firefly enough. But back to The Tick, because that's more important right now.
Right.
It was a strange little series because it had nothing to do with the actual superhero stuff. It wasn't them out fighting crime. It was the day-to-day existence.
Yeah,
right.
So in many ways, it was kind of a parody of the superhero genre.
Yeah, which was also a comic book as well. I don't remember if the it started as a comic book. So
I thought it was just a regular TV show.
Yeah, here's actually the opening credits to the movie, the live action
Wild
TV.
Wild Blue Yonder, the front line in a never ending battle between good and not so good. Together with my stalwart sidekick Arthur and the magnanimous help of some other folks I know, we formed the yin to villainy's malevolent yang. Destiny has
but chosen
us. Wicked men, you face the Tick.
Characters were hilarious. Are hilarious.
It was a very, very well done series. I mean, it had definite budget shortcomings, as it's going to, but Patrick Warburton was born to play that role because the tick is essentially all brawn, no brain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so
and hilarious. A loyal friend.
Yeah, well, you know, he's practically a Labrador.
A Labratic.
And the thing about the tick is you heard that brawl in his voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just that voice alone really got me, you know, and just him doing crazy stuff, it just be like, I'm about to fall out and laugh, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember watching, that's why I couldn't believe when you said 2001. I felt like this, I thought it was like 98 or 99.
No, yeah, he's about right, 2001. And of course, I was still fairly close, but I think the one thing that I was going to mention just a little bit earlier was, for me, it came and went. So as soon as I heard it, it was gone already. And I was like, hey, when's that coming back on? And I was like, oh, there's a new episode coming. And then right away it was canceled. So,
well, and the funny thing is,
It was like a myth almost. Seriously.
Right.
It seriously was like a myth.
8 of the 9 episodes aired.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
In 2001. The thing is, those episodes were sitting on a shelf for well over a year.
Wow.
Wow.
So, you know, it had already been done, and then they aired them. It's like, why even bother?
Yeah.
You know, they already canceled the show before they ever even aired it. And then they only aired 8 episodes of the 9 episodes made.
And actually, Fox and NBC are known for doing that. If it get picked up on the 3rd or 4th episode of a TV series, it's canceled. And I feel like sometimes, you know, the time slot that they schedule some of these shows...
Time slot's a whole other issue, because especially with shows that they're going to cancel.
Right.
Firefly was a great example. The Tick is a great example, because Firefly, none of the aired episodes, not only did they not air in order, but very rarely did they even air in the same time slot.
Right.
So, you know, that they were doomed to fail. And Fox was so notorious for that. I'm not sure how they are now, because I don't watch TV anymore. But
well, we'll see how Gotham goes, because that's on Fox.
Yeah.
I'm apparently it's getting great reviews from whatever they saw, but I don't know. Given that they're already with a young Bruce Wayne, who we're going to see grow and eventually, I guess, turn into Batman at some point in the series.
Assuming the series survives.
Correct. All the villains are already kind of old, in a sense, you know? And I always felt the majority of Batman's characters were age-related. So it boggles my mind a little bit, you know, how they're going to come about this and intertwine all these characters.
Isn't it supposed to be more focused on Commissioner Gordon?
Well, of course, yeah, it's the Gotham PD.
Lieutenant Gordon.
Yeah,
I mean, this all predates all of the Batman stuff.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's an interesting take, and I'm sure the show will be decent, but I don't have a lot of high hopes for its longevity.
Well,
and I don't know why or how Fox got it.
Yeah, it is a little weird. I rather would have seen at least this on, we used to call it the WB, but it would be... Channel 9 in our area, for the most part, but it's called the CW now, so in case people don't know.
And has been for over 10 years now.
Yeah, exactly, which I rarely watch it, unless it was for Arrow. Yeah, WGN on our side, but it's called the CW, so I expected to be there, you know, I did. And especially since it's a DC property, it would have been nice to kind of have keep the, you know, things going. I'm assuming they're like...
Well, but the thing is, and I can understand why they'd want to put it on a different network, just for the fact that it's a different universe.
Yeah.
You know, that's the one thing that you know, DC Warner Brothers is very intentionally doing, is that they're separating things. They're keeping their movie universe separate from their TV universes, and they've got the Arrow and Flash. Those are both in one universe, but then Gotham is in a different universe, and there's like another, Hellblazer.
Constantine. Oh, yes, Constantine.
Okay.
And, you know, that one's going to be possibly a separate universe from both of those, so...
Yeah, on NBC.
Yeah, so, I mean, I understand why they're wanting to put them on separate networks to, you know, so that there's less confusion about whether or not they're going to intermingle, But beyond that, it just seems kind of goofy.
And it's weird because Warner Brothers has a lot of stake in a lot of TV networks. Back in the day, down here, Channel U on 13, on like during the days from 2 to 5, they would show 3 to 5, they would show cartoons all from WB, and then Cartoon Network would show a WB spot for their shows. Now, if you look at it now, you got the Warner Brothers got CW, they got Gotham on Fox, Constantine on NBC. They still got a lot of shows on Cartoon Network. I don't know if they got anything on TNT, because I don't know if Lois and Clark was by Warner Brothers when they was doing it on TNT back in the day.
Yeah, that was still Warner.
Well, that wasn't TNT. That was like CBS, and then TNT picked it up later. Or it was one of the national networks.
Okay.
And then it was picked up later at some point on TNT.
With all of the DC properties, though, that's one thing that they have that's completely different from Marvel, is that all of the DC properties are Warner Brothers.
Yes, correct. Right. Yeah.
And all the Marvel stuff, they used to show on Fox, and now they're showing it on Disney Channel.
Yeah, well, because, yeah, Disney owns it now, so, yeah.
Well, they had the Superhero Squad on Cartoon Network. And I don't know if they took it off and switched it to Disney XD channel.
I don't know. It's impossible to keep up with this crap anymore.
Yeah, there's so many. Just like the new Spider-Man's coming out, which I'm kind of interested in it being Miles Morales.
Yeah, Donald Glover is going to be the voice.
Exactly. So that's nice. And he also apparently has an Easter egg in the first Amazing Spider-Man movie. So there's a poster of Donald Glover in one of the scenes in Peter Parker's house, and he's right there. So I don't think that has really – it could be a connection, but –
I wish I brought the Amazing Spider-Man 2, and I need to rewatch it because I kind of fell asleep again. And
I'm not at all surprised.
Not a lot of people are getting they're not liking it. I enjoyed it because I felt it was more of a campy comic book type movie.
Uh-huh.
So, and of course, I like Spider-Man. There's my bias there, but I will agree there was a lot of, like the first one, it was just the editing. Obviously, things were chopped up because they obviously don't know what they want to do with the movie. Mm-hmm. It seriously seems like two different movies at
it's
times.
Way better than Spider-Man 3. Way better.
Oh, you mean the first Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 3?
Yes.
Yeah, I
don't know what the world that was.
I think they're both the same level of
direction. I will say, once again, I do enjoy this Spider-Man, how he looks and everything. Uh-huh. He looks like Spider-Man to me. So when you see these clips and these, you know, screenshots of Spider-Man, it's like, that's Spider-Man for real. Although right. Tobey Maguire has been playing it for almost over close to 10 years.
I will concede that I think Garfield makes a better Peter Parker Spider-Man.
Okay, there we go.
I will concede that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the problem is that in every other respect, he's mostly misused.
Correct.
So is it me that Spider-Man does well in an animated animated universe than he does in the movies?
Well, there's more to get away with in the animated anything, and two, they have a whole season to flesh these ideas out into specifically an animated story. If they did a live action Spider-Man, mm-hmm. it's gonna be crappy.
Well, isn't this like the 8th animated? No, it might be the 7th animated series for Spider-Man.
I am not sure. I don't remember Spider-Man having too many animated series.
They was on the CW, which is weird. It was on the CW.
Well. No,
that's one thing that I'm not going to be able to keep track of at all.
The major Spider-Man TV show was on Fox, that I remember.
Yeah, and then they have that one really got canceled.
The last time I actively watched a Spider-Man cartoon was back in the day with Spider-Man and his Amazing
Friends. There we go. I was about to say we also have that. So we're talking 70s.
And that's the last time I actually actively watched a Spider-Man cartoon. So.
Was that Hanna-Barbera?
I don't remember.
I know the animation stuff. Well, no. Whoever did it had the animation of He-Man.
It was better animation than the Super Friends ever were, but that's not really saying much.
So here's the quick history of Spider-Man cartoons here. We got Spider-Man, the 1967 animated series. Spider-Man Super Stories and the Electric Company. The Amazing Spider-Man. Go ahead.
That wasn't animated, though.
It wasn't? Okay.
No, that was those were the little Spider-Man snippets on the Electric Company that he never once actually did anything Spider-Man-ish. It was just a bunch of puns and stuff.
Really?
Oh, wow.
We also have The Amazing Spider-Man, which was the live-action TV series, which was kind of popular. It went on...
Kind of popular, if you mean for the 13 episodes that it was, and nobody watched it until it was in syndication.
Well, didn't it have also two other movies? Was it just a miniseries then that was involved with that or something? No.
No. There were 13 episodes, and a couple of episodes were stitched together for a feature length showing on TV.
Okay. That's what it was then. I'm sorry. Then we have the Japanese Spider-Man,
which was crap-tastic every way possible.
Oh, man. Oh, that's what I should find while I'm going through this list here.
It had nothing to do with Spider-Man at all, but he had a giant robot.
A giant robot, yeah.
Wow.
Spider-Man.
It's Japan.
Yep. Spider-Man in name and sort of costume only.
Yeah, exactly. Which we get a lot of that. Just so people know, there's a lot of Japanese counterparts for the past almost 30-something years of these characters.
I still want that Batman short that took place in Japan. It was an animated style, of Batman fighting Catwoman and I never think of his name. He has the tubes in the back of his head to get bit.
Oh, Bane.
Bane. They did a two-part animated short on Cartoon Network during the Justice League. Whatever the teen version is, not the Teen Titans, but it was like the Justice League, like the teen version of them. I can't think of the name right now. But they used to do, like, inserts on commercials.
Well, there's Young Justice.
Young Justice, that's it.
Okay.
So they did a two-part Batman was in Japanese Batman. And they did it in a nice two-part anime style. You can see it on YouTube. It's up there. And it's him trying to get some kind of thing that Catwoman stole. And he fights against Catwoman. He fights against Bane at the same time.
Yeah,
and
I do.
That one part, on the second one, they move to...
And they're clips. They're really like 4-minute clips or something like that.
So they move to one part, and then like a puppet show is going on. And you can see it. When I seen that animation style, I was just like, I want a 13-season animated style
this. I think it was a promo for the Dark Knight Return. I forget what's the most recent Dark Knight that we had.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Was it The Dark Knight Rises? Okay.
Yeah.
So I think it was like within that, the reason why they released that.
Yeah,
so.
It's amazing. If you haven't seen it, go on YouTube and look for a Japanese Batman or something like that.
Well, here's the Japanese Batman intro for everyone.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, let's get a... Sorry, Dad.
Wow. Like a disco song.
Yeah. That's actually a lot of intros of that time.
Spider-Man. The Transformer Power Rangers is this?
Because he's like a millionaire.
Wait, what?
Oh, no, never mind. Actually, I forget the reason why he has this. He's actually, I think he's still a photographer and everything. He's got like a secret base for his robot and everything. So.
I'm sorry, Deck. I need to find this and watch it.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube.
Oh, you already know, Deck. I'm gonna comment on it like crazy and just be like, Deck, I should see one episode of this. You need to get on Skype right now and explain to me why I'm not in the grave, dead from laughter.
Because some things just can't be explained.
I love your first reaction.
we have more Spider-Man. We've got Spider-Man. He has a 1981 series. And then he has Spider-Man 1981 and his Amazing Friends. Mm-hmm. And then from that point, we jump almost 13 years later to 1994. And then that's when we get our Spider-Man 1994 animated series, which was more of the critically acclaimed animated series. I will say that Japanese Spider-Man was actually not bad. It wasn't that bad as in how he was doing, like his...
For its time.
But no, just for the way they portrayed Spider-Man as in when they had the shots of him on the walls and him doing his acrobats and stuff like that. It was really good for that aspect. But yeah, for the rest of it, yeah, giant robots and everything else is kind of ridiculous. And he has a motorcycle too, so.
Wow.
So yeah. Then we had Spider-Man Unlimited, which I believe was the Spider-Man 2099 version, if I remember. And now we got the new animated series that came out in 2003. Spectacular Spider-Man, which was about 5 years later. Ultimate Spider-Man, which is kind of the more current run, which is in 2012. He's also Avengers and Avengers. Earth's Mightiest Hero. So we have that one. Apparently, he was in Phineas and Ferb, which I've never actually seen that. So.
Phineas and
Ferb. It's Disney like kids cartoon. It's really funny. It's really good.
So apparently he showed up there for some reason.
Why not?
Lego Marvel Superheroes, Maximum Overload, which is, of course. We got Marvel Disc Wars, The Avengers. Don't know what that one is. And that's pretty much it right now until we get the Danny Glover Ultimate Spider-Man now. So
okay.
But yeah, which I enjoyed most of the Miles Morales, the ones that I have at least. And it's kind of cool, though. Although people are still freaking out that he's this, you know, Hispanic character now, which is not the first time because 2099 was a Hispanic character as well. So.
Was that the one that was in the comics that they released?
Like, well, both of them are still comics as well. Ultimate Spider-Man. John knows a little bit more about the current releases, but he was the Spider-Man for Ultimate Comics. For a short run until they switched everything over and it's not Ultimate anymore. So
I remember Spider-Man was a big deal when the movies came out. Now it just feel like he's oversaturated. Like, I think they put too much of him out. And they kind of do that with Batman. They kind of did that with Batman and Superman too with DC. Mm-hmm. It's just like you were popular. It feels like you was popular at one time. Now you use this as your cash cow, and it's kind of oversaturated.
Well, he's always been kind of Marvel's cash cow. He has pretty much been the face of Marvel for the past 40-something.
Well, he's easily their most recognizable.
Yeah. And they even have his emblem on some of them. If you look at the old, I think they still, no, they don't do it as much now, but with the old Marvel comics, you will see Marvel comics and it's Spider-Man, even though he has nothing to do with the comics at all. So, but yeah, he's been like that. But recognizable, relatable. That's the reason why they did even a poll at that time when Spider-Man first came out, or within that time frame. And I want to say it was Time or some other magazine, and one of the most characters of that time, Spider-Man was there. He was in the list of the general American public. So
I think when it comes to Marvel, I think people could just now say out of the blue that Spider-Man and X-Men and Wolverine are just the first three names that automatically come out your mouth without thinking.
For the most part,
and when it comes to DC, it's going to be like Superman and Batman.
Of course. Which I will say they're great, other Marvel characters, but for the most part, for the 60s at that, Spider-Man broke the mold in a sense because he's a teenager who's taking on these villains and whatnot, and X-Men broke the mold because they were also dealing with, diversity in that sense, mutants against humans. We had, I hate to say it, but we had the race, civil rights movement at that time, so a lot of it was relatable that generated these characters to be the top. Marvel was also another publisher that helped out with women as well. They had a lot of women characters that they focused on. Spider-Woman has been around, although she's changed numerous times, but she was
right.
a pretty big character for a long time, you know, compared yeah. to... the Invisible Woman's a kind of a staple for those characters with Marvel, but they really pushed the diversity issue when it came to characters, and I think that's also the reason why Marvel kind of has the saturation it does compared to DC. Although for a big period of time, when I was growing up in the 80s, it was still DC. There was that changed, but DC was still more popular, to me at least, during my time, than it is now, and it didn't change really up until the 90s, where
that's what I
feel
about to say, that
Marvel
took
over. And
yeah.
I don't know if Dak agrees with that at all, but that's the way at least I've seen it or felt it.
Well, I think back in like in the 60s and 70s, I think Marvel and DC were kind of even, but I think DC didn't have as much as Marvel had. Because during that time, you would think, when it comes to DC and you think of Batman, you might think of the cartoon show, of the real-life television of Batman, you know, the campy ones
mm-hmm.
around that time, where with Marvel...
Disgusting!
with Marvel, it's just like, you didn't have TV shows that much besides Spider-Man,
mm-hmm.
but you could recognize Marvel for all some of their characters in their comic books.
I agree. Dak, you got anything to add to that?
Not really.
Oh,
you do. among your roll call of various Spider-Man in media, did you happen to mention 3 Dev Adam?
No, I did not.
Oh, I'm not sure I should even bring that one up.
You should say that again. What was it?
3 Dev Adam.
Well, what is that?
It was a Turkish movie from 1973, roughly translated to 3 Giant Men.
What the heck?
You have a Turkish version of Captain America and Santo versus Spider-Man.
Someone pass me some alcohol so I can drink myself to death. Wait, what?
And Spider-Man is a very, very evil, evil dude in this horrible film.
Wasn't he in Shinobi for the Sega Genesis? Oh, I think he is. Oh, sorry about that, Dak. But yeah, I'm just drinking a bottle of tequila and trying to forget what you just said. That sounds like nonsense.
I'm going to find the intro right now. I just watched it. Was a tongue-in-cheek take on the classic like 70s movies. But we also had... Thank you, Dak. We also had Italian Spider-Man, which came out in the past 10 years or something like
Wait,
that.
Wait, what? Why?
Yeah, you know, it's a tongue-in-cheek. It's really... I'll bring that intro up, too. I'll probably play that later tonight. But yeah, there's a movie that's about the Italian Spider-Man.
And, y'all are blowing my mind with this crazy.
But it's a comedy. It's just a kind of a lampoon of Spider-Man. It wasn't supposed to be taken itself serious. It's like a little short movie. That's about it.
Wow.
You have to wonder if that's what 3 Dev Adam is, too, because it's just frickin' bizarre.
Here, let me...
It's so horrible that I managed to survive about 4.5 minutes of it.
Were you able to laugh at it?
No. No.
You cried, Dak? Did you cry?
No, it was just so horrendously bad. I couldn't even move enough to give an atomic facepalm.
Wow.
Here. So stunningly bad. I mean, it opens up. The opening scene is Spider-Man and a bunch of thugs killing a woman who's buried up to her neck in sand with a lawnmower.
Wait, huh?
Crazy Turks.
I would have been like, I need to take this movie back.
Here, I got something here. I can't even find an intro, but maybe at least we can listen to this. Well, here, no, continue talking, because we got to wait till this advertisement here comes up.
Talking.
And yes, how long is the movie? Different.
I don't know. I last 4 minutes. What the crap?
Round one, fight.
No,
that's not it.
No,
it says the series episode 4.
No, that's I don't know what you're
talking about. Ooh, hold on. We got an hour and 18 something here, so maybe we might be able to get the movie out of that.
What is this? Don't do this. Don't do it.
Arsene. Now this is Spider-Man and some thugs harassing a woman right now.
Oh, yeah, because they did it in a scene.
He's slapping himself.
I don't know that your history of Spider-Man in media could be complete. I didn't mean for this to happen.
And that's the scene that you're talking about with the lawnmower. It looks like Gwen Stacy's getting a kick out of the woman dying. It must be Mary Jane dying or something.
No, because it has nothing to do with any of the
I know. Anyways, there you go.
So bad.
That is the opening scene to the movie there. There you go, guys. Deck was correct.
I think I'm going to go home and watch that and just be amazed.
Don't do it.
I'm going to probably do it later on to the week. I got other stuff to do. I got games to play, news to write.
And my dog ate my chicken.
On the list of things more important to do than watch Three Dead Adam.
Sound like a rock band or something.
It's hilarious. That's what it sounds like.
It's so
bad. Oh, well, at least we added that.
Wow. I'm just amazed. Like, why would they create this hot garbage?
Well, because during that time, it was just open season for anything, and it's always been. I'm sure there's something out right now that they're coming up with that's some ridiculous Spider-Man knockoff. No, actually, they probably can't do that now, to be honest with you. I'm sure the laws have changed with copyright and everything, so yeah. That's probably the issue.
Sony would be all over someone's arse about that one.
So most definitely, we probably don't have that, but yeah. During dad time, it was kind of like the Wild West with movies and everything, seriously. And they just went crazy. Now you pretty much got to buy the licensing, from Marvel and stuff like that to get this official and stuff. So, yeah, sadly, we won't be able to see any knockoffs as such. ethnic knockoffs.
I think that movie was directed by Uwe Boll or something.
Hey, no. Uwe Boll has a far, far higher budget and sensibility than
Deck,
that.
Are you ready for this? There's a movie called In the Name of the King 3.
What's it about?
Uh-huh. It's from the Dungeon Siege. That game.
Okay.
A movie called In the Name of the King with Jason Statham.
Yeah, Uwe Boll, I don't understand how that dude can get the actors he gets.
Yeah, he got Waffle Lunch for part two.
Anytime you watch him, he has these big name actors in his movies, and it's like his direction to them is just phone it in. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, he had Christian Slater and Tara Reid do that terrible Alone in the Dark movie.
He seriously only has like maybe two movies that I actually enjoyed. Really enjoyed.
Please
without
don't
having.
Say Postal.
Postal was one of them.
Oh,
or
yes.
Blood Rain.
Yeah. Oh, you actually like Blood Rain? Yeah, Blood Rain wasn't that bad either, to be honest.
Oh my god.
It really wasn't.
It really was. Okay.
But this Rampage.
Ghost Rider.
Rampage. Yeah. Rampage is probably my favorite movie from him that people haven't seen. So I think I consider it a dark comedy, which it pretty much clearly is.
I'm cutting justice with my eyes right now. Just like.
Look at that smiley face he has with the gap in his teeth.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that from the boxing ring that he challenged somebody to get in for Postal?
Oh, no. He challenged three people. It was his little pissy fit or whatever over so many critics just raking his movies over the coals. So instead of, I don't know, making a decent movie, he decides he's going to challenge any critics that want to a boxing match, get in the ring against Uwe Boll in a boxing ring. Three people rose to that challenge. They all got trounced. because he's a big dude. He's a tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not. He's a shit director, but he happens to be a tough guy. So, yeah, that was his answer to all the negative press, was to challenge any of his critics to a boxing match.
According to the IMDb, he's mostly an executive producer, so I think that's where he's getting most of his money from. So
he's an executive producer of garbage. That's what he
well,
is.
Well, I've never heard of any of these movies, so.
Well, he's been doing, because all of his movies has been video game related.
Uwe Boll is just, not since Ed Wood has there been such a consistently bad director.
And we're talking consistent, just about every year he's released some kind of thing.
Just think of Uwe Boll doing The Room.
It would probably be much better than Mr. Wasow.
Well, you know,
Wasow, can we please watch that as a commentary and just
no, dear God,
Deck would die.
I think I'd rather watch Three Dev Adam.
Yeah.
Oh wow! To watch that and just be like, I don't know what we are watching, but everybody just take a drink with us when we say drink.
That would be a good drinking game, though. Seriously,
The opening credits would have you on the floor.
What happened to all the critical hit and the special guests? They're all drunk on the floor on the couch. Because I don't think I could commentate. I'll probably be like, wait, pause the movie. What just happened again?
The only commentary is urinating all over yourself.
You've done it. That's part of the game. Who's going to urinate the first after drinking so much?
Oh, goodness.
You're a loser.
You know, already I'm going to look at you. Or, you know, I'm just be like, John or Justin. Because I'll just take a sip of mine and just be like, sip. It's just something bizarre and crazy happened and be like, yep, I need to down this right about now. Gulp.
That's hilarious. Wow. Well, I'm done with Mr. Uwe. What, did you have anything else on him? Or
Uwe Boll, let's just drop him.
Yeah, there's nothing much more.
Dude is not even worth discussion.
And I'm incorrect. He produced Rampage. I thought he directed it for some reason. So I'm sorry if anyone. But I did like Poster still.
It doesn't matter. He's probably still directing regardless of who's actually in the directing seat.
He directed In the Name of the King 3, which is on Netflix. We came out in 2014. I'm like, wait, what?
Like I said, he's producing, and he's mostly producing, so that's where he's making his money on.
Please,
and it's been consistently since 2000. Oh, before that, 1992.
Oh, my goodness.
So.
Yeah. Please don't tell me he made that terrible Fist of the North Star movie, because if he did...
No, that's not it. That wasn't his fault. That was some other jackass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jackasses run amok in the movie.
Because whoever made that movie should not be in cinema ever again.
I'm assuming you watched the original anime?
Oh, yes. I love the anime. I actually played the game on the NES.
I remember the game. Yeah.
The live-action Fist of the North Star, the biggest problem it had, aside from budget... that it had going for it, was that they were trying to make an accurate live-action depiction of the anime.
Interesting.
And it's just so boring.
The problem is that they could not acknowledge that some things that work in the animated form do not translate to a live-action form.
Why didn't they just call it Space Desert or something like that? Because it was just all sand and wind, and it was just like, this is terrible.
I barely remember Fist of the North Star. I've seen it. I've seen a lot of anime, but that's one movie I barely remember at all. So
yeah, it's
I could not relate it at all. And I've seen clips of that, the movie, the live action one, but I've never actually seen it.
Well, everybody was just, when you watch Fist of the North Star, you just want to see him punch folks in the head so it explodes.
Yeah, I remember it being.
We didn't care about all the other action and ninja crap. We wanted that. We'll just watch Ninja Scroll or something.
Didn't Ninja Scroll get a live action too, or no?
No, it got a TV series.
That's what it was? Okay.
I love Ninja Scroll. I actually watched that.
Ninja Scroll was probably one of the movies I got involved with anime. It was probably one of the first ones. Even though we were, during that time, I mean, anime was everywhere, to be honest with you.
Oh, heck. I think from the beginning of 2000 until maybe 2007.
I'm talking the 80s. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. In the 80s.
From the anime... Apex basically hit right around, I would say, 86, 87.
I agree.
Because definitely down here, it was on like Channel 7, on public channels.
Well, but we do have to say that animes exist as long as, you know.
Right.
Well, and then we're talking, there's also the comic books, TV, cartoons and everything. But I can say one of the biggest pushers, at least, was Lupin the Third.
Yeah.
And Speed Racer, which kind of transcended many, many years from the 70s into later on.
Yeah,
so,
but see, Lupin, you had to watch. Lupin, you actually saw the movies, then you watched the TV show.
Okay.
Because they actually did. They did show the TV show on Cartoon Network, but they didn't show that until almost like 2007.
That's right. I do remember that, yeah.
You know, and I didn't even know. I thought Lupin, when I seen Lupin, I thought it was straight movies.
You know, it's hilarious, though, when I see, like, Lupin on certain channels, and they go, new episode. It's like, yeah, that was like 20 years ago.
Exactly.
It's hilarious. But anyways, but
new to us.
Correct, yeah.
Now, interestingly enough, the live-action Fist of the North Star was directed by a fellow named Tony Randall. The only other thing you've probably seen that he directed was Hellbound, Hellraiser 2.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Which I didn't mind.
Other than that, the rest of his director credits are crap I've never heard of, and probably nobody else has either.
He must have done independent stuff there. Like
that or just crap. There's a lot of, like, just video. There's a couple of, like, episodes of TV shows.
Okay.
Two episodes of Power Rangers in Space.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
But yeah, not much to it.
Wow.
And everybody, that's crap movies talk with the critical hit denominator.
Yeah. Well, speaking of crap movies, or at least listing, did we have anything else that we missed off that list that you had there?
Actually, no. I'll probably do this tomorrow on Optional Opinion. If anyone has read, Capcom is suing Tecmo Koei for patent infringement. They're suing them for, transferring your save from one game to a sequel. So, let's say Mass Effect. So, when you beat the game and all your data, when Mass Effect 2 came out, you could transfer all your stats and stuff into that. So, Capcom is suing Tecmo Koei for that. And then, there's another one. They're suing them for Rumble in the game for the control. Which, how Capcom got that, I really don't know.
That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, so, I think they're suing them for like $38 million or $72 billion some dollars or something like that.
Wow.
It's $78 million,
that's
I think.
Still, I mean, that's probably small potatoes, but that's still
quite a bit of money.
And
Capcom is getting like a lot of hate for this, because they're just like, how are you going to sue Tecmo Koei for all things? Because
can you give us a history for people who are not familiar?
Tecmo Koei, or Tecmo, if anyone has
Tecmo,
heard...
Yeah,
if it has heard of Ninja Gaiden, they are the creators of that. They also have been working with Nintendo to make Hyrule Warriors, which is coming out. They did Ninja Gaiden 3 for Nintendo.
Was that like a Link fighting game? Or
yeah.
Something?
If anyone remembers Dynasty Warriors, this is a straight old Japanese beat-em-up game. They did one with all the Legend of Zelda characters.
Wow.
So you get to play as Link, Princess Zelda,
Ganondorf,
and then other characters like from Skyward
Sword.
Is it
Ganon or Ganondorf?
It's Ganondorf in this one.
Okay. But was it Ganon before?
It's Ganon for the first one.
Okay, I wanted
so
to mention,
it's a
you.
Big, Nintendo's pushing that. And Nintendo works with Tecmo Koei and Bandai Namco. They've been working with them a lot. So for Capcom to sue to get all this money, because Capcom was actually trying to sell their business off and hoping somebody would come and buy them. And everybody at first was just like, Nintendo needs to buy Capcom. But it's just like, now because of this lawsuit, everybody really wants Capcom to go the way of THQ and just straight die off.
Wow.
If not, they said they need to sell Mega Man to Nintendo, and that'd be it.
And so you personally, you saying Capcom is going downhill, or has been going downhill?
Capcom has been going downhill ever since they kind of broke away from Nintendo.
Okay.
Capcom usually makes money on Nintendo products.
Of course.
But because of the failure of, well, not somewhat the failure of Resident Evil 6, but some of their games that has come out hasn't really met real goals. The only way that Capcom can stay afloat is doing mobile games and Monster Hunter for the DS.
Wow. That's
sad. That's the only way that, I mean, because they haven't, because of Kenji Inafune leaving Capcom for Mega Man, and a former comp set, and him doing Mighty Number 9. Capcom hasn't used anything with Mega Man because Mega Man used to be their big cash cow. Mm-hmm. So to see them to see Capcom go all the way downhill, and then they just outright go ahead and sue Tecmo Koei because I believe they sued them because Tecmo Koei is working with Nintendo, and Nintendo's giving them money to make games for them. So that's the weird thing. But I'll talk about that on tomorrow's
show. Yeah, I don't want you to spoil it all on here. Thank you for that.
Yeah. So it's kind of weird. I just forgot to put that down.
Mega Man was Capcom's cash cow?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mega Man is
Capcom. I would have thought Street Fighter was.
Ooh, I forgot about Street Fighter too. Yeah.
That's my point. But I would have thought that would be more of their cash cow than Mega Man.
No, Mega Man was coming out with a lot of series before Street Fighter took over reigns.
And there's so many like series now alone with Mega. Well, I think it's gone to Mega Man X right now, isn't that what it is?
Mega Man X, yeah. The last Mega Man that actually came out was Mega Man 10.
So yeah, and then it's like X1, X2, X3.
Yeah,
right?
And it's like X, I think X8, X7 or X8.
So you're telling me basically we have about almost 8 Mega Man 10 games? Is that what you're saying?
We have 8X games. We have 10 of the regular Mega Man games. We have Mega Man Battle Network. We have...
I played that, which was hard.
Mega Man was a... They had a driving game and a soccer game for Mega Man.
I do remember the soccer game now, yeah.
He was in Marvel vs. Capcom 2 and 3.
Okay.
He was Zero, which is one of their characters. He was in Tatsunoko vs. Capcom. Mega Man was also in that one, too.
Zero, isn't that the female character?
Zero is another character that was from the X series.
Okay.
So he had a blade instead of having a shotgun.
But it wasn't a female, right?
No.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Ro is the female.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
sorry.
Ro is the female in there. She is kind of awesome in Tatsunoko versus Capcom. and it's kind of weird that I bring that up because a lot of the old school companies like Capcom and Konami and stuff like that, they really don't have enough franchise to keep them going. And it's kind of sad to see that.
Yeah.
But to just like to actually hear this, like I said, I'll talk about that tomorrow on the mini-show.
Yeah. No, thank you. What was this week's episode? Just so we don't.
This week's episode that passed Wednesday was about exclusives. You can also read my blogs on IGN.com under anime, ENIME. Mm-hmm. This week I talked about has exclusives been a good thing to have, and kind of we talked about the good side of it and the bad side of it since the Microsoft got the exclusive to Rise of Tomb Raider from Square Enix. It has become a big controversy for it, where something like Mario Kart 8 DLC that just also came out is kind of a good thing, a big thing. But even though that's not exclusive, so I kind of talked about that, and then I also talked about the Capcom 5 that was exclusive to Nintendo, the Nintendo GameCube. So they brought out Killer 7, PN03, Resident Evil 4 was part of it. Dead Phoenix was supposed to be one of their games that ended up getting canceled. And then one more game that they brought out, and Beautiful Joe that they came out. So
I'm a big fan of Beautiful Joe.
So
I can't find my disc, though, right now. I don't know who. Anyone listening out here, if you have my disc, bring it back. I'm sure someone borrowed it because I don't usually give out my GameCube games.
Yeah. You know what? I think I still have 1 and 2.
Really?
If you still got your GameCube, I could bring it over to you.
Yeah, I was actually just playing X-Men Next Dimension and Marvel Nemesis.
Well, let me get my copies and I will bring it to
cool.
you.
Cool. I wonder if I still have my save files. So
you could probably play it on your Wii.
Yeah.
I talked about that deal and how it was kind of good for them, but because Capcom didn't get enough sales and stuff. So that's up on the website. You guys could go to the Nominous Radio Network, which is what you guys listen to right now, and look up Optional Opinion, and that episode should be in the archives.
Yes, in the archives, and I got to actually update all the playlists, but you can most definitely, once again, download all of our episodes in the archives. That's always updated.
And to represent us, since Casey is not here, the Good Vibes Project playlist should be up, episode 18. Yeah. So that should be up on the website also.
I think he just has 17 right now.
He just got 17?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
17, yeah. Thank you again.
Well, look out for 18. That should be coming.
Yeah, it should come out soon, yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Let me see. Quick, I'll call this like the lightning round. We forgot to talk about the movie rumor, which was posted on...
people, we have a Facebook page, we have a Twitter page, you know, and there's a lot more traffic, obviously, on our Facebook page. But I post, John post, and we also have Suli, if you listen to our older episodes. He posts every now and then, and we have James Elva, which used to help us out a lot more. Well, not necessarily help us, but he used to kind of help run the chat every now and then back in the day. He posts, too. So there's a lot of people posting on our Facebook page. We've been doing our best to post our names when we post stuff.
Right.
I personally, if it's something that I'm not trying to make an opinion on, I just post it as is. But if I'm going to say, you know, this is cool, blah, 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 or whatever reason, I will put my name on there. So there's a lot of times I will post information that's, you know, from other news sites and so on. But a lot of times I do my best to make sure, you know, it's valid.
Yeah.
So it's valid. But we've had some posts from other people or from the other moderators, and people have gotten to me, you know, not necessarily negative, but they were like, hey, and I'm like, no, that's not me. So specifically this is what I'm bringing this up. We've had a bunch of rumors come out like we usually do. We talk about whatever comes up, but we had a list of Marvel movie lineup for the next 10 years almost, or within the next 10 years. And Dak, and I, as much as we're agreeing now, it's not official. I'm going to pull up the movies actually that they're talking about here.
It's a fan-made thing.
And it's really, really good.
I've actually seen this covered on a few different sites. And with
beautiful.
A few different movie news blogs. Oh, it looks fantastic.
Exactly.
Whoever put it together, whoever photoshopped the crap out of this thing, did a fantastic job. It looks great, but it's got to be handmade.
Yeah, I can actually look at it right now.
None of these titles are official. There's been no confirmation of some of these titles being made at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's no way that this is official yet.
Exactly. The Doctor Strange one looks a little bit more official, but beyond all that, you can tell the Hulk is not official. The Thor Ragnarok, which I've never even heard that come out.
Right.
And Black Panther, I believe that's official. Well, we're not.
There's been nothing official about a Black Panther movie yet.
Okay, so other than that, yeah, that's about it. But given what they posted, I'm interested in Avengers Civil War. I'm interested in a World War Hulk, at least.
Well, and you know, we've already talked about the fact that those are entirely unlikely.
And it has been a discussion amongst other forums as well. So other than that, we won't spend too much time. Just be careful, you know.
Yeah. And also, anyone who has not read the news, they actually got a picture of Hawkeye's new outfit.
Oh,
for,
I forgot about that, too.
For Avengers 2.
Yeah.
So you could go on the website. I think IGN has it. You could check their movie section and look at the picture. Or it might be on Yahoo. Yahoo.
It's out. You just probably look at it. It's a big thing. I don't necessarily see anything wrong with it. I actually enjoyed his original outfit, which looked more like the ultimate version of Hawkeye. Uh-huh. So I was fine with that. The jacket. Deck, did you see the picture at all of Hawkeye?
Not the recent one. I saw that photos from back.
And that reminds me of another movie news update. But either way, I didn't think it was bad. It's just like him wearing almost a jacket kind of thing, a long jacket.
Oh,
and
so it's no different than the set photos I saw months ago.
There you go. Then you're right, yeah. So I don't know what everyone's up in arms about. I would have preferred the original look. I don't even care if they didn't change it.
You mean the original look from the
first Avengers movie? Correct, yeah.
I was going to say, because the comic book look just is not going to work.
Yeah, and like I said, they took that look that we're seeing now in Avengers, the first one, from the ultimate look. So if people don't know, Hawkeye wears a mask it's all goofy. It's all goofy. So I'm glad.
Comic book costumes do not translate.
Yeah. So I'm glad they ended up changing that. But I don't know. I don't know what the big deal is. I think it's all right. Will he wear it all the movie? I highly doubt it. But they change suits every movie.
Right.
So I don't know. I enjoyed the changing of the Cap suits. I thought the Winter Soldier suit was freaking kick ass, if you ask me.
Yeah.
And then he got back to I don't know if I was brought up before when we first watched the first Captain America, but the first Avenger. But I enjoyed the first half of that movie with that suit. You know, so I really enjoyed that they brought that back eventually in the new Captain America movie.
So either way, I enjoy both the S.H.I.E.L.D. version as well as the original version. But beyond all that, they change the suits every movie. So
yeah,
I'm not going to complain. I think, you know, Joss Whedon has it great in his, it's a great in his hands. So whatever that may be, whatever. But so that
plus
was big news.
The costume.
We did get, speaking of more movie news in our little lightning round here, we did get some more set photos of Fantastic Four reboot with a Doctor Doom on there. And everything is green screen.
Oh, you mean Dr. Hobo?
Yeah.
Dr. Hobo.
It's a little weird, I got to admit. I can't wait to see a clip and what this movie's going to look like.
You know, I'm not paying attention to Fantastic Four right now.
Most people aren't, to be honest. Most people didn't when the first movie came out, so.
Yeah, I think it's because it's just something about it that I'm glad that they're actually giving it a reboot and everything on it. But I guess I'm trying to kind of treat it like Guardians. I don't want to see nothing until the movie actually come out, because I think if I see something, it's going to ruin my expectations of that movie. So I kind of just want to wait till, you know, they get an official trailer or when the movie get officially announced. Now, yeah. If I got to watch a trailer, I'm only going to watch one, and that's all I want to see.
So you don't want to see any clips or anything beforehand?
Nothing beforehand.
Like I said, I enjoyed the thing from what they ever had, but it bothers me a little bit.
I don't think that was genuine, though. I mean,
no.
Even if it was, who cares?
It's
the thing. Yeah, he looks kind of orange. He looks like he's kind of made of rock.
Rock, yeah, yeah.
What does he frickin' do?
Well, my biggest problem is it's going to be all green screen, and that's where it really comes down for me. You know, every shot that we've seen was a green screen shot. So there's going to be a lot of CGI, which is given for the most part,
right.
In the sense of Fantastic Four, where they're going out. But the reason why I kind of like the original Fantastic Four with Chris Evans in there, although there was CG, the sets were nice. I liked the sets. I liked
right.
Reed Richards' laboratory for what it was.
Right.
I liked the fight in the streets. But when you got all green screen, it kind of just shows me there's a lot of fakeness to it.
But it's probably they're trying to do the special effects stuff first. Hopefully they're doing like that, like the special effects stuff first, and then do any real shots and screens and environments and stuff like that later.
And I also like that the thing was a costume. You know, it worked
yeah.
really well. They had obviously CG aspects to Michael Chiklis' costume, but I thought it was a thing. If anything, if you take away from the Fantastic Four, the best thing out of it was the Human Torch and Michael Chiklis as the Thing in those movies. Other than that, that's all I could say about that.
For some reason, I want an Iron Fist movie.
Really?
Well,
but we're getting the Iron Fist Netflix movie, a Netflix TV show.
We are? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Before they canceled Iron Fist, that's when I started getting into the book, and I was just like, this book is fantastic. And I can't find no graphic novels about it. That's
really?
The weird thing about it. I was just like...
Well, Iron Fist is, I've always felt, was one of those, I guess, C-list characters, so I could see that possibly, why they haven't done much with it.
I think...
He's been around forever. Not necessarily forever, but for a long time.
I think because of some of the artwork and just him fighting, which just draw me in. He's like, okay, this is a martial arts book, and this is right up my alley.
I'm glad you're talking about it, because no one really talks. I just see him, what, The Defenders? Isn't that what we're getting anyways on Netflix? But
I think so, yeah.
Other than that, I've never really cared for Iron Fist, so I'm glad you're bringing him up. Thank you for being the minority that brings him up. Iron Fist minority here.
Because you just think of the Fantastic Four. Because when I think of the Fantastic Four, I think of the cartoon, the old school cartoon when they first
okay.
came out. So, and you know, and then when they brought them out for the movies, they were good. One and two were good.
You liked one and two?
One and two was good, yeah. I kind
of
liked it.
I just like aspects of it. That's really about it. Which I guess is the same thing for a lot of movies for me, but.
I like ass.
Yeah.
There was an ass part. those two Fantastic Four movies were barely tolerable.
No, it was clearly made for kids. It was clearly made for kids. And that doesn't mean that they had...
I don't think they know who it was made for.
That's true, too. I can give it that.
Because if it was made for kids, there wouldn't be quite so much innuendo with Johnny Storm and every female.
That's true, too.
And I think that's part of the problem that they should have showed the cartoon. Like, they should have brought back the old school cartoon, threw them on DVDs, and promoted that before the movie came out so people could get understanding of it.
Well, there was actually a Fantastic Four cartoon when that came out. It was more of like a high action
high
type.
High action,
yeah. Other than that, though...
The one from, I think it was the 60s was a far better, more entertaining show.
Well, once again, I always felt Fantastic Four is that campy, campier than Spider-Man, a classic comic book, sci-fi, you know, storytelling. And,
well, you got to remember, they were the first comic book team.
Correct, that is correct. And they're still considered Marvel, like the president, you know, the first... Reed
first
Richards.
Family.
Yeah, yeah. They're considered Reed Richards in many of the comic book stories. He's, you know, he's, even though they're not as popular now, he still has a respect in the comic book community as well as in the Marvel universe. Many different stories, he's almost seen as like a wizard, a technical wizard in a sense. So he still has that respect, and that's the way I feel. If they felt like, you know, the first lady, the first, you know, the president, the first lady, you know, an invisible woman. But beyond all that, I've never been a truly fan of the Fantastic Four personally. I've read their comics, some of them. The later ones, I didn't really get into, especially with the Ultimate stuff and all that. It wasn't me. It wasn't for me. The older stuff, I enjoyed. It fit that tone, everything like that. But I you know, X-Men, Spider-Man, you know, those were my bigger, you know, comic book collections during those times, and they just overpowered it. I always felt the X-Men were bigger than the Fantastic Four.
I agree about that.
It's personal, you know, observation, well, personal opinion, of course, but
from a popularity standpoint,
popularity.
Sure.
Thank you. Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, the X-Men introduced a whole new element to the idea of superpowers. This was the first time that it wasn't, you know, some happenstance. Other than Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. This was, you know, the first time that it wasn't just happenstance and, you know, an accident with radioactive chemicals or some crap like that.
Yeah.
That created a superpower. It was just the fact that they were born with it. It was latent until, you know, they grew into it.
Well, I thought it was the radiation, the astro the space radiation.
I'm talking about the X-Men.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Did you think it was Fantastic Four, too? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry.
You know, that's why X-Men was, you know, that was a big part of why X-Men was a greater popularity, because the possibilities were absolutely endless. Because, you know, you think of a new superpower, okay, well, we'll give it to a new character, and, you know, they're a mutant.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to worry about the origin story of how they got the power then.
Correct. With X-Men, it always felt like it was a DNA thing. Like they were, they were born with these powers. Like even if you look at the animated series, how they focus on first, they started off with Jubilee. It's just like, okay, it feels like she was born with these powers.
That's what it's about. That's what it was.
Yeah.
They're mutants. They're born with it, and it lays dormant effectively until they come of age or
stress or something.
Yeah, some catastrophic event brings it forth.
Which is a later story. They implement that everyone was a mutant, and that's why everyone has superpowers. And it took some form of radiation. If you read Earth X, which is, I always go back to Earth X, they explain that they tie everything up nicely. The reason why everyone has superpowers is because it was already latent and in them. There weren't necessarily mutants in the first place. I guess it still is a mutant in the sense of where the genetics come into play, but how everyone got their powers, and especially during most of the mythos of Marvels or, you know, anything of that,
right,
it was some sort of radiation, some sort of trigger that sent it. They say the reason why the Hulk turned green, according to Earth X, was the gamma radiation triggered what was already inside of him. And I guess they kind of do that in the first Ang Lee Hulk movie. They kind of talk about that a little bit. Of course, he was also injected with the thing, but... yeah, they say that it was triggered by these events, so they kind of, you know, tied up the loose ends when it came to some of that, but the X-Men were the first
to implement
it.
And then created all the frayed ends everywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. But
I cannot wait for Days of Future Past to come out.
I got to add to my collection. There's no doubt about that. Of course, I can't wait. It is a good movie. It is, still.
It October 13th, that gets released.
So. There's just so many Marvel movies.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness.
No, they're going to get good. I'm happy, and we keep saying it, and I'm glad we keep reporting on it and giving our opinion on these movies, because you could tell if you do listen to our past episodes, which I will say I feel our past 10 episodes or so within, you know, the past maybe even 15 or so have been our better take on what we've been trying to get out. But you can hear us talk about how better the movies are coming out, you know, with the comic book adaptions.
I think it's just the script writing and just the acting has been top notch.
Well, they kind of, with Robert Downey Jr., I think is where it's like, we can do this. We can make this a decent movie. It can be done. Christopher Nolan's Batman offered that. People from all sorts of, you know, genres can come in and watch that movie. Hands down, I think Christopher Nolan's Batman really, not the greatest Batman. I still wasn't the Batman I was looking for. I thought Batman Begins in itself was going to be a totally different series when it came out. It turns out to be a different thing. It changed a little bit. It's still the same movie, same, you know, feel of it. But it really showed people, you can take this seriously. You can get great actors to portray these characters. You know, Gary Oldman as Commissioner Gordon, I think, is still my favorite Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
You know, but still, you know, it really did. Maybe even Spider-Man did it. I feel like Spider-Man kind of, Sam Raimi Spider-Man, William Dafoe, crazy costume that they did for the Green Goblin, perfect guy.
Ridiculous
for
costume.
Yeah, perfect. He was perfect for Norman Osborn as well as the Green Goblin. There's just so many scenes. I'm watching it and just William.
I would say, you know, Dafoe and J.K. Simmons were the only on par. You know, those were the only really great castings in that film.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I still and throughout, like I even think when they get, you know, J.K. Simmons back on as J. Jonah Jameson, I think I'm hoping they get him back on, because to me he was J. Jonah Jameson for Spider-Man.
And I think that's why Guardians is the top grossing movie this year, because it's just like the actors you unexpected, because just be like, okay, first this is a property that's not well known, and then to really get these actors and throw them in together, like Bautista, a wrestler, you know.
Well, that's actually a good point, because I was about to kind of just rebuttal real quick that I don't consider them they are actors, they are entertainers. How about that? Bautista is one of them that's an entertainer, but Chris Pratt, what has he really done other than Parks and Recreation that I remember him as?
He did a
Lego movie.
He did
the Lego movie now. But beyond all that, it was just Parks and Recreations for me, and he was kind of a fat oaf. Like, he was a big guy. He toned up for Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
You know?
Zero Dark Thirty.
He wasn't Zero. I didn't even know that. Holy crap! I gotta catch that now.
I gotta watch that movie again.
I saw parts of it. I didn't. Whatever. But Bautista being an entertainer, I thought it was a great role for, you know, Drax the Destroyer. The lines were hilarious. Zoe, what's her last name? I forget.
Saldana.
Star Trek? That's really all I seen her in. And then she got the shine, you know.
She's always did, to me, she always does an amazing job when she plays comic book characters. Or something like Assassin Kai. Because she did that other movie, and I can't think of it.
She was in Avatar. She was in Star Trek.
Oh, that's right. Avatar. I'm sorry. That was the other movie.
But she did another. I think, didn't she do one for DC?
I don't think so.
It was like five. Because I think Chris Evans was in that one, too.
I'm going to take a look real quick on her IMDb here. But still, I feel, you know, those characters were a little unwell-known, except for Cooper. What's his name? Who did Rocket Raccoon, and Vin Diesel, you know, they're probably the more popular actors.
Oh, Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, Bradley Cooper, thank you. Yeah. Anything outside of that whole cast.
But see, I think the acting, the direction, and the writing, which is all spot on, I think that makes that movie successful.
Well, it's the directing that's going to help. Directing and writing is going to help that a lot more. She signed up for Avatar up until 2018. She was in Rosemary's Baby, which I don't want to see. The TV series, just so people know. She did a voice in Star Trek. And really, everything else has been shorts.
Because I thought she did.
Vantage Point is another big movie that came out that she was in. And then she's been in TVs and stuff. Oh, yeah, and then there's Pirates of the Caribbean. So, and then the other stuff is kind of smaller roles overall.
Okay, because I'm like, I know she did one that it was like a assassin kind of thing. Because Chris Evans was, he was big in that movie. And he was like a nerd hacker in the elevator.
Oh, that's actually a comic book movie. That's,
Yeah, that was a DC one.
No, that was...
I thought that was DC.
It's Vertical.
Oh, Vertical, okay.
It's still DC, but it's Vertical.
Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Because Chris Evans was... yeah. in that mug. I was just, it was so weird to see him that big.
Yeah, he was like the comedy relief too, you know?
Yeah, but I was just like, when did you bulk up?
Oh man, what is the, I can't, The Losers. That's what it is. Yeah.
That movie was yeah. good.
She was in it. The Losers, which was a good movie. I agree. I enjoy that. I enjoy Chris Evans' character. I think we even talked about it here on Critical Anomalous, whatever, 2 years ago or whatever, a year and a half ago or something. So, no, I totally agree. It's one of probably my favorite
you know,
movies.
So, for her to have that kind of experience and bring that to Guardians, I just thought that was just an amazing job.
I felt, personally... I almost felt she, you know, took a back seat in Guardians. I really didn't...
Well, yeah, I think... Because to me, everything clicked for mm-hmm. some reason.
No, it still is. Still.
You know, and it's just like... Compared to seeing that to Spider-Man, you could see the directions and that the directors were going for. You know, so it's just like...
There's a little bit more class in Guardians of the Galaxy, yeah. people. I'll say that. A little bit yeah. more class. A lot more class.
I can't wait for the Blu-ray to come out because I think I'm going to go right to the scene where Groot, he goes and gets the alarm thing and throws it and hits the guy
yeah.
when he's walking.
Well, that was that when they were breaking out of
yeah.
this prison? Yeah, yeah. I talked about that on here on the show, how that was such a great scene
literally,
in the background.
The dude getting hit and the sound effect was got me because that was straight WB cartoon, Looney Tunes, like comedy. Mm-hmm. It's old, but something about it just made me fall out and laugh at the theater when I seen that. So I that's my little bit. And I think that's because if Dad could remember, I told him on Skype that, and I kind of went back and forth that, mm-hmm. Guardians of the Galaxy was my movie of the year. And then when I seen the Batman Arkham Asylum, I was just like, I think I have a movie that outbeats like Guardian. And I think it's hopefully that one day you get to see Batman on Arkham, Assault on Arkham.
That's an animated series?
It's an animated movie, yeah.
Eventually, maybe.
when you get a chance, hopefully you see. I just ordered Justice League's Doom on Amazon today. I think I bought it on DVD, but I'm like, I'm about the Blu-ray copy. So, that movie is good too. That's me.
Yeah. I gotta check them out eventually. So
you already know more. I'll bring them. I'm like, I got the yeah. movies. I'll just bring them.
Why not? Yeah, just let me know. All right. I think we're closing out towards the end here. We did kind of the lightning thing. Dak, did you have anything else you wanted to throw out?
Joaquin Phoenix sucks.
There we go. That's kind of good to reiterate again. You got anything, Ed?
Yes. Tune in tomorrow on Monday at 11 p.m. for Optional Opinion on the Minisode. And then Wednesday at 10:30, I'll be doing the main episode of Optional Opinion.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm actually getting antsy because I am sweating right now. I want to get some air. It's humid out here. Is it crazy humid out by you, Dak?
I've been sitting in the air conditioning all bloody day.
Yeah, I got partial air conditioning, but yeah, I've been sweating like crazy today. So, but anyways, that's really about it. Other than that, check out the new Good Vice Playlist project. We got Ed here. Well, of course, we'll be back. Hopefully, John will be back next week. And
I
keep
think
up the updates.
I will be making an appearance next week. If
really?
You need me to, because I found out about something that may allow me to be here next week. I'll see.
Here on the show, I wouldn't mind you, Ed. I wouldn't mind us, the little four, doing this. So it was good the last week. We actually got, just a reminder, check out episode 58 with Ed, Ed, Dak, John, as well as Casey from the Good Advice Playlist Project, and a special another in-guest, Mr. Steve Hayes, who's just more of a spectator. But that chemistry worked out well. We actually got a lot of listens for that episode alone.
Oh.
So please share that episode. It is a single episode now on our blog site that we have until we get everything switched over. But you can also download episode 58 via our playlist here on the AnomalousRadioNetwork.net or our archives page, which you just go ahead and click on there. You get that. But most definitely, a lot of people dug it. I don't know how much they dug of the Black Dynamite, but they were really enjoying that first half hour to hour
Fiendish,
of
Dr.
us.
Wu, you done effed up now.
So it hit off well, people. So thank you for the people that shared as well as listened to the show. I'm seeing the numbers, so I'm really happy. I'm really happy. We must be finding our little actual groove or whatever, or how we can get the show going. So I really enjoyed it. Hopefully maybe we can get Casey back again, but I really like that aspect, and yeah, I most definitely I'd come back. Most definitely.
I would try to come back.
So go ahead, Ed. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Facebook under Ever Varnell. You guys can friend me there. You can see send me emails about the show at myop2comment@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. That's MYOP, the number 2, COMMENT. Optional Opinion will be coming with the Twitter and with the Facebook page later on next month. I'm cool. Still getting things ready for that. I just got to do some pictures for it. Fam Filmology will probably be hitting shortly. We still got to work that stuff out. And Genreology 101, I'm planning it for January of next year.
Cool. So. Any word on your index show?
Fam Filmology, we are getting that together.
Oh, that was next year. I'm sorry. Yeah. I missed it.
No, Fam Filmology, we might actually do this year. Okay. We just got to get some things out of the way, get some schedules, and see how we're going to do it. It will be a bi-weekly show, so you'll get two episodes every week. We will I'll probably be...
Episodes a month, you mean?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. and we will probably be... We'll be posting movies that people need to watch, and then we'll be ready to start discussing that and getting things done. We still got to find a day, and we just got to see how to get all of that worked out.
Cool.
Which reminds me, I got to ask you something after the show.
Okay.
Where we go off the air.
Yeah, no problem.
Secrets. No. But hopefully you guys could tune into that and just really give us, you know, your feedback or recommend if you like the shows and things like that.
Yes, please share, like, do all that. And host, please share and like our shows. It helps if we promote our shows together, so to get more listeners. Yes, thank you again for the feedback and all that. Deck, go ahead and throw out your Twitter handle where people can find you, listen to you.
Both. At Nomads Wandering.
There you go. And Mr. Joaquin Phoenix sucks. So you can find me, CrazyJ82, at yahoo.com. Of course, the Facebooks, the Critical Hit Anonymous, as well as the Facebooks. And you can find the Anonymous Radio Network at the Facebooks. It really is just more of a site for us at the moment. So other than that, you can check that out. Follow us on a Twitter, as well as the Critical, huh?
So, I do want to mention also that the music that's streaming between shows on the network is being updated on a regular interval now.
Thank you.
Or at least, sort of regularly.
So, yes, we will be getting new music, which, of course, if you're listening and you got bands, friends of bands that you think will fit on our schedule, please send them to Dakarai.
It's not even a matter of fitting.
Just get them up there.
Basically, what we're going to do is we're going to try to, have unsigned or unknown bands that are local, not local to us specifically.
Correct.
Local bands, unsigned bands. If they got stuff that they want heard, we'll throw it in the rotation.
We'll put it on. We did just get someone from SoundCloud who sent me his information. Mm-hmm. So once again, if you're from SoundCloud, anywhere like that, we want to promote you. We're the underdog as well, and we want to promote the underdog of everything else. So most definitely send them to Dak via Twitter if you're listening via Twitter or anything like that. Or you can find me Twitter, Facebook, and all that. Or even Ed, if you know anyone, get them up
there. Hit up the show at the Critical Ha.
Yeah, let us know. We'll be willing to even share your music that way as well. We're all about that. So. Thank you, Deck, for uploading some of the new stuff, and thank you for the people.
New and old stuff, because a couple of the bands that I've uploaded were local bands in the Quad City area that no longer exist.
Cool. Oh, awesome. I like that. So I also want to thank the people who did let us use their information, which you can find more as well as on our homepage of the website at the moment, from the Chicago Singles Club. As well as Messiah Witch, and there's a few others that I forgot about those, though. But you can find all the information on there for the rest of those bands as well. So, and we'll be able to update that, too, when we get everyone, whatever you got a website, we'll upload it to the site as well so people can get your information there. So I thank you. We'll tune in, and I wanted to play us out with
I'm just gonna end cap that with, local bands, local businesses, you help us, we help you.
Exactly. Oh, any intro or outro, Ed, that you would like us to play out of a video game? I'll do that right now.
Actually, yes. It's actually on my iTouch.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Well, if you got it, I can just plug it in here. Yeah. Here.
Give me 1 second.
No problem.
This one is called Samurai Heaven, from the Shampoo Crates to Samurai Soul soundtrack. You can get it on iTunes. I think it's like $9.99. It's only about 2 minutes and 58 seconds. Really great song. Really, and it's an instrumental, so give it a listen.
What a platform would we be able to play this on?
Oh, you stumped him there.
Just iTunes for right for
no
right
no now. No. Oh. It comes from a video game or
no? It's from the Samurai Champloo.
Oh, there we go. Okay, thank you. Oh, Champloo. Okay, I do kind of remember that now. So yeah, check that out, Samurai Heaven, and yeah, thank you again for listening, and we'll see you next week and check out all the other stuff.
You might have to cut the volume up. I kind of cut it down.
Oh come on, Ed. What? Really dug it. Thank you for that one there, Ed.
You're welcome.
Once again, thank you everyone for listening. Good night, all. And
it's a little somber.
Good night. Yes!
So to liven it up before we go. Okay.
Which is funny that the creator of Samurai Champloo made this anime too. Yes, Shinichi Watanabe.
And this one is Cowboy Bebop. Thank you.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night, everyone.